The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who delivered the medical school cadavers to the alumni dinner? Every Halloween, the trees are filled with underwear. Every spring, the toilets explode.
You're talking about
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I state your name. Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat. With liberty and fraternity for all.
Paul Perillo.
I won't go schizo, will I?
It's a distinct possibility.
And Andy. And Andy?
You guys up for a toga party?
Toga! Toga!
Andy Hart.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
Eric Scalavino.
7 years of college down the drain.
For now, anyway.
Okay, this guy is a real zero, that's true. Just think back when you guys were freshmen, huh? I myself was so obnoxious, the seniors used to beat me up once a week. So this guy is a total loser? Well, let me tell you the story of another loser.
PFW in Progress.
And stupid gesture be done on somebody's part. We're just the guys to do it.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Let's go! Come on!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and boy, it's starting to feel like football here. Players are in. They're starting their off-season conditioning. It's a little bit more formal now, I would say. There's a mini camp coming up at the end of this week. So I saw Robert Gallery walking by, for example, and later on in the show, we're going to have Daniel Fells, new tight end for the New England Patriots. So things are happening here at Gillette Stadium. Welcome to PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails. The phone number on the Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. And the email address is webradio@patriots.com. Andy's here. Paul's here. Fred's here. Matt's in the booth. Where's Eric?
I believe he's talking to Daniel Fells.
Oh, he's down there with the media?
No, Daniel Fells is walking into the studio as we speak.
Okay.
Okay, then I don't know where Eric is.
He just saluted me. I got the Terrell Davis touchdown salute.
I promised Daniel Fells later in the show, but here he is. So let's get him situated. Put on a headset. Turn on your mic.
Mic is on.
Let's welcome Daniel Fells to Patriots Nation. Welcome, Daniel.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Clearly, this is not Daniel Fells' first radio interview. He's all ready to go.
No, he's good to go.
Done a few of these before.
You have Andy Hart. I'm Paul Perillo. This is Fred Kirsch. He's the boss, so you show him no respect whatsoever.
Right. All my attention goes this way.
That's okay. I get no respect.
I got you.
Again, I know you've been here for a while, but welcome.
Thank you.
And how's things going so far in New England? You know, what have you been doing?
I've been working hard. That's what I've been doing. Ever since I got here, we hit the ground running with the off-season workouts, a lot of conditioning, a lot of weightlifting, and you guys don't play around up here. I love it.
That seems to be the consensus. Same thing for all the veteran free agents that have come. Will Allen said basically word for word, you guys don't screw around too much.
Right. I mean, you hear wonderful things about this organization and how, you know, you guys do it right here. Well, yeah, they definitely do.
They definitely have a system in place, no doubt. But you've been around. I mean, so you've seen your share of teams, so you can definitely draw those contrasts.
You know, that was something I was talking to my wife about is you know, because I have been around and, you know that, you know, the Patriots are such a great world-class organization and, you know, championships. You know, that's what you think of when you think of the Patriots. And, you know, when I had the opportunity to come here to play, we're kind of like, you know, we can compare all the other teams that I've been with to how they do things here. And, you know, I've only been here for about a month, but, you know, you can already see the differences.
Yeah. So is your wife still back at home?
She is. And my son are still in California, but they'll be coming out for training camp.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. When you mentioned the opportunity. What kind of an opportunity did you see here? Because obviously everybody knows, you know, Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, kind of the story of the tight end world last year. Both had huge seasons. Where do you see yourself kind of fitting in as a blocking guy, a third, you know, a receiving option? I know you're a former receiver.
Right.
Where do you see the opportunity for you to kind of fit in?
You know what? I feel like I can just slide in there and just be a part of that group. I mean, you got two great tight ends right there, and they went out there and they showcased everything last year. But the wonderful thing that I've noticed about this organization and this offense is they spread the ball around. You know, Tom's going to find the open man. And, you know, when you have three tight ends out there on the field, it's going to create, you know, mismatches all over the place for defenses. So I see myself coming in and, you know, hopefully, you know, just contributing in any way that I can, whether it be in the run game or the pass game.
Do you like blocking? Do you think you're a competitive blocker? Because they do often use three tight end sets, and over the years sometimes that's been a third tackle that's come in, but maybe that could be your role, kind of Algie Crumpler did it a couple of years
right.
ago.
Right. No, I definitely don't mind blocking. I mean, I'm sure you talk to any tight end out there, he's going to want to get his hands on the ball.
Right.
But, you know, and I'm a competitor. I want to win games. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win games. So I'm going to come in and fill in wherever I can and, you know, just take my role in stride.
What's it been like, you know, sort of interacting with the coaches and, you know, Bill Belichick in particular? How was that? Because it's not the first time he's expressed some interest in you in the past as well, right?
Right. I came out here a couple years ago on a visit and sat down and spoke with him. And, you know, I mean, the organization – it's all to his credit. I mean, he's a genius. He's a great guy, real down to earth, and you know, he knows what he's doing.
Have you had a chance to talk to Josh McDaniels yet?
I have. I talked with him in passing last year. You know, when he was out in St. Louis.
Right.
I had actually just left St. Louis and went
to
Denver. We just crossed ways and spoke with him over the phone. But I finally got to sit down and talk with him when I got out here. And you know, he's a well-minded guy himself. You know, he's real sharp and, you know, just real energetic and, you know, loves the game of football. You can just see that from just talking with him.
All right, enough of all that crap.
Okay.
I want to know about Tebow.
I was wondering how long that was going to take.
Well, I gave you the requisite 2 minutes.
I appreciate it. You know, you gave me a little bit of time to kind of lead up to it. I thought we were going to sneak out of here without it, but
no such luck. Fred's a big fan.
Are you?
I am not.
Andy's the opposite of Fred, and I'm somewhere in the middle.
Here's my feeling. And before they you know, misconstrue what I have to say about Tebow. I don't think he's the greatest quarterback, but I think he's a great athlete. I think he's a good football player, and I think he's authentic. You know, all that other off-field stuff. I think that's really who he is. I don't think he's a phony.
Right.
And I think there are a lot of guys who are phonies, you know, but I think he's authentic, and that's all I'm saying about him. So I give him his props. I have no problem with him. All these people that have been hating on him since Florida, and when he got drafted, it wasn't his fault he got drafted.
Now how did I miss? All I said was you were a big fan, and Andy's the opposite of a big fan, and I'm in the middle.
And you're on the fence.
Yeah, I'm right in the fence. And that's very rare for me. You'll find
all right.
that out.
All right. Well, I'm
never
push,
on the
I'm
fence
not
on any
I'm not going to push you either way.
I'm
you
not a big
I
fan.
I think he is genuine. I don't think he can play quarterback.
Huh?
That puts me on the fence.
I can see how you're on the fence, but I mean,
yeah.
You know, I guess you got to break
I think
down the
Fred
question.
Is right about Tim Tebow the person. I've seen no reason to believe that he's a fraud. I believe he's a genuinely good person who wants to do good things in life.
I concur. That is.
I don't think he can throw well enough to play quarterback at the NFL level. So that puts me on the fence.
You know what? I think if you give the guy some time and actually have some people work with him, I think he'll be a pretty good quarterback.
Okay.
And I have to be honest. I hold his followers against him. I find Tebowites or whatever you want to call them,
right,
very annoying. And I tell these guys, the year he was coming out at the Combine, there was a comment made by another media member that said they had spent time with Tim Tebow and they were a better person for it. And
right,
anyone who spends time around Tebow is a better person for it.
But why is that Tim Tebow?
It just annoys
that
me.
It just annoys me.
Well, you know, in the guy's defense, to his defense, it's kind of it's a no-win situation for him. There's all these high expectations of him,
right,
him coming out, and you get
right,
the critics either one way or the other, and it's just kind of like he can't win. You know, when he does play well as a quarterback and when he makes some good throws, they're kind of like, oh, you know, it was a lucky pass. You know, then he goes off and he makes a bad throw, and it's just kind of like, you know, that's what you expect from the guy. So it's kind of a no-win situation, and you know what, to give him credit, like, he's out there, he's got intangibles that you cannot coach.
Right. But I mean, my point is, you seem like a good guy. You seem like you're here working hard. But I don't, you know, you're not in jockey commercials, and you probably throw just as well as Tim Tebow does, and no one's doing all these big stories.
But
you.
But what you're
there's
missing,
a lot of good people in football and in the NFL.
But what you're missing is I'm a better person for having met him.
Well, I
spent 5 minutes with Daniel,
right,
and I'm a better person for it.
Thank you.
So Tebow's not.
That's
alone.
How you suck up to the new guy right there.
He doesn't realize Paul's being sarcastic.
No, I'm not.
Right.
All right.
I agree with Andy. He walked into the studio and he's sort of lit it up. I mean, we're all sort of laughing and joking and enjoying his presence. What's the difference? Why do we not have to say anything?
But it's not.
I kind of agree with Andy, the reaction with
that's
it.
That's why you're on the fence, though.
That's what puts yeah. me on the...
But to Daniel's
point... like I said, it's very rare for me. I'm not ever on the fence.
You're a people pleaser. I can see that.
Anything but.
No, he's actually a fighter.
He gets into fights with women at Toys R Us.
I can't believe Andy
hasn't
said... I can't believe Andy hasn't said, you're too heavy to be on the fence.
That's true. You did it for me.
There you go.
I actually did have a follow-up question on the Josh McDaniels.
Go ahead.
You know, here with Brady being, you know, such a veteran quarterback and understanding the offense so well, it's almost like the Patriots have two offensive coordinators. You know, Brady's almost a coordinator on the field.
All right.
You know, have you mentally started thinking about that, you know, Brady, you know, it's a little bit different than a lot of offenses where the call comes in from the sideline, quarterback, you know, relays that to the huddle, and boom. Brady's often making his own calls, and you have to be up on the playbook in order to work in this system. Have you thought about that yet?
No, I definitely thought about that, where, you know, you got to make sure it's always important, no matter what offense you're in, to be on the same page as your quarterback, you know, because you guys are the ones out there going through, you know, the battle and the fire and everything that's going on out there. So being in tune with offense is definitely a big thing, and I have thought about it, and I've actually started some work on it. But it's very similar to the offense that we ran in Denver, even though it was a different quarterback.
Different type of quarterback.
When you get open, Brady's going to hit you in the hands, not make you dive for it.
Like, what was that game? Was it the Miami game?
Yeah.
That you had to make that dive? Yeah, you won't have to do that here.
Okay.
You'll be able to, you know, work on your celebration as the ball's coming, because you'll know, I'm going to catch this and be in the end zone.
See, I got to give Tim credit, though, because he gave me that pass and I was able to lay out for it. Right. I've shown that I can do that.
There you go.
You know,
he does give receivers a lot of those chances.
Good point. It's a good point.
They say Tim works in mysterious ways.
I have another.
That took another 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, let's get away from Tebow, but another former quarterback, and this is kind of a personal question, because I went out on the limb for Sam Bradford. I thought Sam Bradford was a generational type quarterback, that he could go down the road of Brady, Manning, be a, you know, 15-year starter, Hall of Fame talent.
Right.
You played with him.
Mm-hmm.
How good do you think he can be? Where do you think he is in his development?
I mean, I think he had a little bit of a setback last year. I think he's going to be a real good quarterback, but just like any quarterback, I think it takes a little bit of time, just getting comfortable in a system. You know, he came in, he had one offense, and then all of a sudden, in his second year, he had a completely different offense.
Right.
And you know, the St. Louis, they were trying to get some things going with their offensive line, and they weren't able to protect him as much last year, so he had some injuries. But I think he's going to be a good quarterback.
All right. So besides football, what are your interests? What are you into? Movies, books, fishing? What do you do?
I have a 10-month-old son right now, so I'm really into him. He's pretty much changed my life completely.
So diapers, bottles.
Yeah, I'm really into changing diapers.
Sleepless
right
nights.
Now.
Yeah, you're much more lively for someone with a 10-month-old. You should be
sleeping. Like I said, I've been here for about a month now, so they're still in
that's
California.
That's true.
So
all right.
You did say that.
Yeah. You're here playing. Your wife's doing the hard work.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm into cooking. Love to cook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I
that's
like
good.
To
We're
eat.
Into eating. So if you ever want to bring our hobbies together, we'd be happy to sample your goods.
Well, any type of cuisine.
Yeah. What do you like to do you like to cook?
A little bit of anything and everything. Yeah. You know, I'm always out there trying something new. You know, I'll get a couple cookbooks and just kind of browse it. You know, the entrees or whatnot, and then add my own little flair to it.
What's your favorite type of cuisine?
Love Italian.
Yeah, that's the one. Who doesn't, really, though?
No.
I mean, I will say I've gotten really into sushi.
As the two guineas nod.
I've gotten into sushi, but I don't make sushi myself. My wife does. She'll make homemade sushi.
Really? Sushi must be the easiest thing, because you don't cook it, right?
Yeah, but you got to prepare
it. You got to know what you're doing, I would imagine.
Yeah, and if you screw it up, you get sick and end up in the hospital.
There you go. Any tailgating specialties? We'll throw them in the paper, Freddie, right? Wow. Remember when we did that?
Yeah. We did the favorite recipes of the players.
My wife has a real good one. She's got this pulled chicken.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Instead of pulled pork, you know, a little bit healthier on the healthier side. Yeah. A little pulled chicken. Nice
that
little sweet
good.
Roll.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So
good.
Now, is this just a hobby, or do you think down the road you know, post football, maybe you'd want to have a restaurant?
You know, I've actually thought about that. Earlier in my career, in my first 2 years, I actually did some internships at some steakhouses, just kind of trying to learn the business and whatnot.
Tough
restaurants,
business, right?
It's real tough. It's tough.
Yeah. Competitive. Right? That sounds like Jarvis Green. Remember, he did the internship
at
the steakhouse down in Providence, and now he has a restaurant in Louisiana.
Yeah, the capital.
How long has the restaurant been around?
Oh, probably 3-4 years.
I think he's
made
it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Isn't it like 95% fail in the first year.
In the first couple
years,
yeah. Yeah. I definitely learned that, so I was kind of like, maybe I'll wait till either my career's
maybe
done.
Maybe I'll keep my money in my pocket.
Yeah. Well, there's some nice restaurants up here at Patriot Place. I don't know if you've had a chance to check them out, but we've got some good ones up here.
I've heard some good things about it, but I don't think my wife will let me go there without her, so I have to go. I can't say that I've tried anything over the radio.
You got a scout. Davios would be worth the trip. So you tell her, I'm going to make sure that I'm only going to take you the best ones.
I got you.
So I have to do the reconnaissance for you.
You also should talk to...
I have to hang out with you more. See, that's
good cover. You should also talk to Dan Connolly, whose brother is an executive chef, I believe, in New York. He was in Boston.
Yeah, he's a well-renowned
for a while,
chef.
Very right? well-renowned chef, too, actually, yeah.
Wow. So you think you can't learn anything from those offensive linemen, but you never know sometimes.
Nice. Recipes.
Oh, they know how to
food?
Eat.
Come on.
They know
that's
how to
true.
Eat.
They know how to eat.
I've seen them at Davio's on a Friday night before a game. They have their own room.
Yeah. They shut it down over
there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. I might be there on Friday nights with these guys.
All right. Well, Daniel,
wait,
know,
one more thing.
Okay,
I got to
okay,
tell
go ahead.
Him. Are you offended by this?
Uh-oh.
I hope not.
Oh, boy.
When we signed you, I immediately deemed
that's
you
right.
the best third tight end in football. Is that,
is that offensive or a compliment?
Because I am calling you the third tight end, but Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez are pretty good, too. So
I don't know. Maybe I'm on the fence about that.
Well,
I got a new favorite player. Rodney Harrison,
well,
you're out.
Let's. If you're a third tight end on the Patriots, that's a good job to have because, you know, like we said, they'd bring out Nate Solder and put him in, but, you know, at the tight end because they love using that three tight end set. They just didn't have a tight end they could use last year.
Right.
That. You know, you could have a definite role here.
All right.
So.
All right.
I'll tell you what. And the quarterback will hit you in the hands.
Okay. Right. Perfect. In the locker room, we'll be down there in the locker room, Eric, Andy, and I, every day. You come up to me with any issue that you have and ask me what my take is. I'll guarantee you I won't be on the fence again.
Except Tebow.
All right. We'll hold you
except
to it.
Tebow.
All right. Daniel
you,
Fells,
Daniel.
New tight end for the New England Patriots. Thank you for coming in. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. To honor Fenway's 100th birthday, we're having a one-week ticket sale on Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Ace Ticket has your Boston Celtics playoff tickets on sale right now. Be there as the Celtics chase Banner 18. Treat yourself or someone special and take advantage of our free and easy pickup by the Garden in Fenway Park. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
What would make your business better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a business checking account, better banking is a package of business solutions with preferred rates and better resources, along with customizable options designed to fit your business perfectly. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. Let us show you how dedicated we can be to your business. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Danny was telling me about.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of fact,
I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Daniel Fells, nice guy.
Now I'm going to say he's the nicest third tight end in football.
Real nice guy.
I mean it.
Yeah. We've had a good string of nice guys coming
out. I think I have a new favorite Patriot.
We have.
Rodney and Drew just got knocked down notches. It's now 2-3 for them.
And he's actually a Patriot. Not a washed-up old hack like those
guys. I mean, all the guys that came in.
You think Rodney Harrison is...
I don't know why you have to be disrespectful to my favorite guys.
All the guys that have come in so far this
offseason. Notice I said Rodney Harrison.
Anthony Gonzalez, and who else have we had?
Gerard Mayo. Gerard,
well...
Yeah, that was the most surprising one, I thought.
The Elvis impersonator. The Elvis impersonator. The guy you thought played DB.
Right. Trevor Scott.
Trevor Scott, yeah.
You know, so, just nice guys.
That's...
You know,
we have a good locker room.
How are we going to fit all of them on the team, though?
Well, that's the problem.
We won't.
There's only 53 on the roster.
But I think he'll be on the team. I don't think.
I think so too. Oh, I think so too.
Well, they signed him, I believe, to a 3-year deal.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I mean, I would think at some point you want your first
round draft, something like that.
Yeah, I think you want your first round draft pick, Nate Solder, to focus
on tackle.
What he's going to be doing.
He's going to be the left tackle.
And they also had nobody else, and you lost Gronkowski to injury. Hernandez has been nicked up repeatedly over his first two seasons. I think you want an option that you can really turn.
The only thing about Daniel, I think he's got pretty good hands. He's shown that the 4.94 speed was back in 2006. I wonder what his speed is now.
Who cares?
You know, well, yes, that might be one of those things where who cares?
Yeah.
He's there to catch the occasional pass, you know, for a first down or whatever.
But how fast do you think Rob Gronkowski is?
I don't know.
I don't think he's that fast.
Yeah, he
probably
may not be.
If you run your route right,
I don't think he's that fast.
Really?
I wouldn't. I mean, if you run your route right, if you catch the ball when it hits you in the hands, you can play.
Right.
As they all joke, get ready for the biggest 40 of your life and the last 40 of your life.
Yeah, because
it's all what you do on the field.
And especially at that position. I mean, Gronk runs a lot of those seam patterns where he is, you know, sprinting against either a linebacker or a safety or whatever. But for the most part, you're a tight end. You're going to be in a confined space, short yardage. You're not going to be sprinting anywhere.
You run up.
You're
going
to be running 5 to 10
right,
yards.
You turn around.
You know, if you can just get a shake on the linebacker that's guarding you.
Yeah. And he's your third tight end.
Right.
He could be
right, the
beneficiary of a lot of touchdowns in the red zone.
Oh, I agree. Algie Crumpler was starting to really get on that role. Yeah.
Well,
except in the playoff game.
Except you do have Gronk, too, who was really the beast of all tight ends.
Yeah, but when
there's three
guys on him, Fells is wide open.
Sure.
Brady's going to throw to Fells.
Right.
Yeah. As he said, he hits the open man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the formations short yardage when you have Gronk and him and maybe one of these fullbacks and a running back and you have a heavy package. That's a lot of options to potentially get to.
A heavy package with all guys who can catch the ball.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
I'm getting intrigued already, and it's way, way, way too soon, but like the mental roster breakdown and, okay, so you have a real third tight end this year, so, well, but do you? Because am I including Hernandez in my wide receiver numbers? and we have an actual fullback.
If you do that, then you really got to go down to the wide receiver numbers, too.
And, you know, guys like Slater, and, well, he's not really a wide receiver. He's a special teamer. And if we keep Fiametta, then that's a fullback. Is he a running back? Does he take up one of the five running back slots? And, you know, we've used a tight end as our fullback. You know, like all those cross, you know, and the extra tackle is no longer our third tight end. So do we need less tackles, or, you know, does a guy
There's a lot of that's a really interesting point. There's a lot of those. Andy and I were talking about this like 2 weeks ago on one of the roster reports that we did. It's like you could literally go, now they've had five running backs, but now if you add a fullback, is it four running backs and a fullback? Probably.
Right.
We've only had two tight ends. Now we have three real tight ends, quote unquote. Real tight ends,
right? So you have one less offensive guard, you know, or tackle.
Well, you're gonna have to figure out what you're gonna do.
Robert Gallery is a guard who can play tackle, or is he a tackle? You know,
right?
So and maybe he's your extra.
Sebastian Vollmer is your starting right tackle. He's had back issues. Do you need an extra tackle in case he goes down, or do you cut a guy and just say I can get him back if I need? You know, there's a lot of things that, and like Andy said, it's ridiculously early to be going through these exercises.
But that makes it more fun.
Yeah,
because once they start getting hurt and placed on it's not as fun. Because
as Terry Francona always says, these things play themselves
out. Depth in May does not always equal depth in August, as Bill would say, or November.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. The big news from yesterday, Matt Leitz's official retirement, and they held it over at the Hall of Patriot Place, which you guys were there.
Terrific.
I was busy. I had
great
a meeting,
venue
but,
for it.
You thought it was great.
Yeah, great venue for that type of thing. Surprising that they didn't think of it sooner.
Well, we really haven't had, like...
Well, like, Brewski retired, the hall was open, right? Troy Brown.
Yeah.
Troy Brown, I think they could have done. Brewski, I think, would have been a little bit more challenging because of the way it happened.
I think it happened so fast,
It happened in training camp, and I think that once you get to that point, it's kind of too late to do something like that.
Yeah, the light thing was well thought out, so obviously they had known for a while.
That's my point, is that when you have time to prepare, you can do a really...
But how bad is it?
And listen, the Brewski thing was terrific, too. Brewski's, I thought, was terrific. I thought Bill was outstanding at that, but... Yesterday's, to me, was the best of all of these. I thought, and I'll be interested to see what Eric and Andy think, but the offensive linemen all, like, just walking in. It was almost like, you know, one of our own is going. I mean, they're so close anyway.
Solidarity. Yeah. But, it was a good show of solidarity.
And not only the guys that are here now, but, you know, to see a guy like Russ Hochstein there.
Yep.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Sammy Morris was in with his with his
some
wife.
Local players that have been done. Yeah. All the coaches were there. You know, I don't know if every single one, but I saw a lot of
the
different coaches.
Well, Dante wasn't there.
Yes, he was.
Was he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dante and
Matt spoke.
Dante and Matt.
Well, he spoke on the video.
He spoke on the video. Although, no, I think he did speak because there was a quote that I read that was not from the video because I transcribed that quote from the video.
The quote came from PR.
From Dante?
They put out a Dante quote that was about a page and a half.
Oh, well, I had that. That was the one that was from the video was long.
No, it wasn't from the video.
Okay.
It was a totally different quote.
Okay, because all right, maybe that's where they got that. Maybe he didn't speak yesterday, but he was definitely there. I shook his hand when
I
walked
out.
Him and Matt Patricia. I saw Chad O'Shea. Obviously, Bill spoke. And Bill was excellent, by the way.
Yeah, Godsey McDaniels.
McDaniels and Godsey. I didn't see Pepper.
I haven't seen Pepper since this report that he's now coaching the linebackers, not the line.
Yeah, he and Patrick Graham.
And I usually look for him because he has the same car as me in the parking lot, so...
Evidently, Mike Reese wrote something over the weekend about he and Patrick Graham are going to be switching.
Yeah, which makes sense.
From linebackers. And
Pepper was a linebacker.
Right.
And Patrick Graham played defensive line in college.
So you think they were just giving Graham experience with linebackers because they like guys to have experience?
Well,
Pepper's been doing defensive line for like 8 years.
No, I know.
So
like
0-3.
What I was thinking is, okay, they're going to go back to more 3-4. Because that's what Pepper played with the Giants when he was with the Giants. And so they're going to go more base 3-4, go back to that, and so let's move Pepper back there. I don't know.
I mean, they might, but I don't think it has anything to do with that coaching decision.
I don't know.
It is kind of curious, though.
I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at it. If you consider Chandler Jones a defensive lineman, then wouldn't you want your more experienced coach to be Jones, but now he's getting Graham.
Right.
If he's going to be with the lineman.
Right.
I don't know that he is going to be. He may be with the...
Well,
linebacker.
Just like you were saying with the offense, and I know we're skipping around from different topics. We went from Matt Leitz to Pepper Johnson now to this. But just like you were saying with the offense, how intriguing it is with what they're going to do with personnel, it's just as intriguing on defense now.
I don't know if it's as intriguing in terms of who will make the team, because I don't think there's
No, but
depth.
How they're going to line up.
That is the most intriguing story of this team heading into the new season, how these guys on defense are going to be put together, what Bill's going to do, 3-4, 4-3, 2-5, because I firmly firmly believe you're going to see formations where, you know, everybody's talking about who's going to be on the field. All of them. Ninkovic, Hightower, Spikes, Mayo, the whole crew, Jones, in various formations, you know, inside with
I don't know what that means.
Oh, I do, but inside with Spikes. I didn't play it.
But you immediately think of it. Everybody else thought ketchup. You know, squirting of ketchup.
Who thought that was ketchup?
You.
He didn't play it intending it Flash. To be thought of as ketchup.
Well, I mean, I can't believe he intended it to be thought of the way you're thinking.
He's talking about how excited we are about the defensive front.
Oh,
when
boy.
A man gets
that,
really
that,
excited,
that's just
that happens.
Horrible. You're excited about the possibilities of using defense,
Good
and
Pepe.
That comes to mind? You, my friend, are a disturbed individual.
Yeah. By the way, Matt LePan's real name is Pepe. Pepe LePan.
His real name. But I think that is the story of the team, is how the and in the back end, too, with Gregory and Tavon Wilson and all these, how you know, McCourty,
does McCourty stay at corner?
I think that is the story of how that defense is constructed and deployed.
And deployed.
Yeah, I'm with Andy because, to me, it's intriguing for a different reason. It's intriguing how they're going to play on defense. Offense, it's intriguing who makes the team.
Yeah.
I know how they're going to play on offense. They're going to throw the ball every
time. They're going to add up to 5,000 yards.
Right.
I don't know exactly how those yards will break down, but it'll be 5,000 at the end.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to wonder, you know, about, you know, what kind of plays they're going to run on offense. I'm wondering what kind of plays they're going to run on defense.
Right.
And offense, it's about roster breakdown. Defense, it's about deployment.
Starter breakdown.
Deployment. You know, how they're going to do it.
Yeah. Just to get back real quick to the news as we bounce around, two news items. As Paul said, all the offensive linemen were at Matt Light Day, including Logan Mankins, who looked fine. Was not wearing any brace, no limp, looks good post-surgery, has a little scar on his knee, but other than that...
He looked okay with an ACL playing.
Looked very good. And I thought it was a good sign just that he was there. He skipped things during the year. We speculated he was injured all year long. I thought maybe a back injury, because that's something you could play with
you
and monitor.
You did.
And he disappeared. He was, you know, aside from doing an interview for us for TV and a couple here and there...
And that's only because it was us.
Gone. He was
And I'm being serious gone. About that. He likes us.
So that's news. I now firmly believe there is 0.0% chance, unless there's a major setback, he's going to be your starting left guard day one. So put him out there. And then Sebastian Vollmer was also there, you know, looking fine. I mean, I don't know how you judge a back injury or whatever, but he looked fine.
That's a little dicey. But I think the fact that Mankins didn't have anything on his knee. Now, maybe he
purposely
took
it
off.
No, but he's significantly removed from February, sir. It was late February, right?
Yeah.
So that's late March.
Because I did think there was a little hint of something when he was walking. But he was, you know, I even said something to him. I said, "Hey, you're moving around pretty good." He goes, and he had that stupid smile on his face. But, you know, I thought that was noteworthy, and certainly all the reporters took note as well.
And then the other news, if you want to call it that, or lack thereof, Brian Waters was not part of the group. I wouldn't necessarily expect him to be. He showed up for the season last year. Why do I think he's going to be doing voluntary workouts in May this year?
And certainly, you know, that's something that I've been reading some message board stuff and some fans. They're concerned about that because they feel like the offensive line would suddenly become an issue if he doesn't come back. And I hope he comes back. Certainly you're better with him and Mankins, those two guard spots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's excellent guard play. You know, it's all about guard play. Oh, wait a minute. This isn't basketball. No, those two guys are very good, but I don't think that you're in dire straits if he doesn't come back.
Well, especially with Copen back, and now Connolly just moves over.
The thing with me is Mankins. Now that I am firmly in my head have said, okay, Mankins is my starting guard week one.
Well, he frees up Connolly.
I don't care about Waters.
Yeah.
Because I got Gallery, and I got Connolly, and I got Copen.
I don't
want to
take it as far as
that.
You know, I don't want to take it as far as I don't care about Waters.
It's a guard.
But
we're not going to run the ball.
I don't think you're in dire straits. I don't think you're in dire straits.
He's just going to keep talking while he's talking?
Yes, that's what he does.
No, but I'm with him. I agree with him. I just don't think I don't think it's a major concern. I think this offensive line is three injuries away from being in dire straits.
Right.
Now, if you want to count Waters as one, if he retires, okay. Well, two more guys would have to go down before I said, what are we going to do?
So Bilo was wrong he said we should draft a center in the first round?
Yes, which is why we laughed at him openly on Patriots Today.
As did his boss.
The other aspect of that is they still have Dante.
As he held his fingers over his nose.
They still have Dante. Which I think shouldn't be overlooked.
Absolutely.
Well,
he can take chicken.
But he's proven
that he can take almost anybody.
He can get to the Super Bowl with Brandon Gorin and Tom Ashworth as his tackles.
I think he could make you a productive guard. You got the bill, let's be honest.
I mean, think about the guys that, Hochstein, Ashworth, Gorin.
Could definitely take you.
Right?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, think about the guys that have started on playoff games and one guy, Gorin, Ashworth, Robinson Randall.
That other religious guy from the first one.
Grant Williams. Yeah, and I mean, they are in better shape right now.
Four centers.
Right.
They are in better shape right now. Well, just proving my point about it doesn't really matter. But anyway.
It does matter if they're
bad.
He
was turning it into a positive.
Yes, I mean,
let's
praise
Dante.
But when you get to four, I mean, it's pretty clear that anybody
can step
in.
His fourth. We had the best fourth center in football.
Correct. Correct.
I've seen it bad. I've seen where a sub has come in at the center position
and yeah, you
affected the game negatively.
Right. You see it on every
exchange
team.
With the quarterback.
We see it on every
fumbles all over the place.
The Pittsburgh game,
right? Pouncey goes down and the ball's all over the place.
Right.
What the hell's going on?
The guy's knees are wobbling.
Did they put Vaseline on it? I mean, it's just you've done it 1,000 times. What's your problem?
And somehow they end up going to the playoffs. I don't know how they do it.
Everything the Patriots
But this is why I don't want to waste picks on offensive linemen. I'm telling you.
No, we're praising Dante.
If you get good, if you have some good preparation,
when
you
he
get
leaves,
by,
then I will.
Then
worry.
I might.
Then
worry.
I will be concerned about the guys who I think aren't even really that good.
I will too.
Like Matt Light, I would have probably thrown in there 5 years ago, where I'd say if Dante weren't here, I'd have my doubts.
But this
about
is
that
what
Light
I'm saying. I have Dante, so I don't worry about it. That's why it's not an issue to me.
Yeah, but we tried
what
to
I was just
Dante
saying?
For Nick McDonald or whoever the hell.
Oh
yeah,
no, but I think that when you get that ridiculous, it's just it's obvious that there's an infrastructure in place. I mean, this is my point.
In other
doesn't
news,
matter who
are we saying right again.
Yes, it doesn't matter who it doesn't matter who the players are to me.
In other news, Jabari
so
Gaffney
coach,
was
which is
officially
where we start.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I have Dante.
Right.
I said I have Dante, so I don't worry about it.
Oh, you don't like it when you're not part of it?
Yes,
but this isn't a good one.
No, why? Yours have never been good ones. You and Paul have never had a good argument ever in the history of this
just
show.
Just so you know, you two have taken over from me in recent past.
Right, but
as the emailers are starting to talk about,
but you guys aren't arguing. So
you guys never argue. You both just spew opinions and say right and right.
And
right.
I made my my one sarcastic comment about Pittsburgh, who has no offensive line, hasn't had an offensive line since Roethlisberger has been there. They stink. They can't block anybody, yet they still find a way to get to the playoffs every year and sometimes win the Super Bowl.
What the hell's going on out here?
In other news, Jabari Gaffney
that
was officially
sarcasm.
Announced as a Patriot yesterday.
Yes.
So they got that out there.
We have not officially announced Joseph Addai, although all reports indicate he is going to be the veteran they chose from that group.
And what do you think about that?
I'm okay with suspecting
that they will bring a veteran.
Yeah.
Running back in.
I'm okay with that.
Out of the three they brought in for a look, that was the one I wanted the least.
Really?
I would agree with that.
You wanted Hightower and Grant more than him.
Grant. Andy sold me on Grant as the one I wanted the most, and then Hightower. Originally, I wanted Hightower because I thought he sort of had the thing that Benny did. And I think that's what you're looking to replace.
But he's hurt.
So he convinced me that Grant was the better option.
I'm okay with it because I don't expect Joseph Addai to come in here and be my day one starter.
None of them would have been that.
No, but
I hope Ridley's the day one starter.
Well, yeah, that's my point. I hope Ridley is the guy, and that these are just whoever that guy was, whether it was Hightower or Grant. I didn't expect them to be a major part of the offense anyway.
Correct.
So I would have been fine
Grant
with
Grant or Addai. You were fine with either one,
right?
Yeah,
I had expectations for Ridley.
I just wanted a guy with different skills than the backups already have, and I feel like Addai is another third down back at this stage. So now you have three of them. And only one guy that if you want to run the ball, I know they don't run the ball, but if they did so choose, right. I would have wanted another guy that I could supplement Ridley with.
They got three fullbacks. They might want to run the ball.
Right. Now that's a right.
What else do we got? What other news, Patriots news, because there's other, obviously, league news that we may want to talk about.
I think we've exhausted it.
The scouting changes.
Yeah.
Jason Light went to Arizona, where he'd been previously when he was not in New England before. And Kyle O'Brien. I don't know if we talked about those
two.
I think we talked about those on Thursday. But
I wondered if Brian Zanders might be a possibility, given Bill's new trust in McDaniels.
Now, Brian
and McDaniels
Zanders
relationship
is with Denver, or was supposedly the GM of Denver, right?
Right.
Well, he was.
Well, as I was talking with a couple people today. Titles mean different things in different places. Bill Polian, he wasn't
nothing wrong with him.
He wasn't the Bill Polian of the Broncos. And
no.
Bill Polian was,
McDaniels and Elway were the main dogs.
So I don't know. Zanders could come here, but I don't know what his role would be.
Well, he wouldn't be the main guy here, so his role would be similar to what it was there as an advisor, a scouting
voice.
Yeah,
I think Andy's point was just that suddenly Josh McDaniels has come back into the scene and clearly has Bill's ear. And if he feels like Zanders is a sharp personnel guy that could add something to the equation.
As maybe just a
consultant.
I'm not even sure he'd have a
I'm not putting
title.
Words in your mouth.
No, I just think it's a guy that McDaniels has a relationship with, that he may respect his abilities as a football evaluator, talent evaluator. Bill seems to have a greater trust in McDaniels. You know, all these comments he's made about our relationship is different now because he has seen and done things. Right. And, you know, maybe he says, hey, Xander's just, you want to bring him in? Maybe we could use another voice. Maybe I don't know that he would say, okay, he's light. He's going to fill in for light. He's going to take that job. I'm just saying it could be a guy to add to the mix of the decision-making process.
Just worry about the offense.
No, I think I said that, Andy.
And Andy,
that was good. I didn't know what you were saying for a minute there.
You said...
shut your mouth and throw the ball.
You saw something with Arizona, right? For Light's position is actual. You know,
yeah,
there was some talk last Thursday. They said, why would he go for him? It's a promotion.
It is a promotion.
Director
of
personnel.
He went
from pro personnel to the director of personnel. There is a promotion.
Oh, yeah.
He's in charge of the guy who's the pro personnel guy.
That's the that's the umbrella title.
Sure. And the last time he was there, he was just a personnel executive in Arizona. Now he has a little more formal title.
Okay. League news.
Those mother effers have been trying to get me for years.
I did see that quote.
The quote of the week from Greg Williams. Suddenly he turned into like a gangster or a drug lord or something like that.
Well, proving that he's been doing this for years in other places, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Which there, I don't think there was.
I don't think there was any doubt either. I agree.
But what a god complex, psycho, whack job. And, you know, although I do enjoy Anthony Hargrove using basically the same defense that Sidney uses. He told me to. I lied to the league because he told me to. You're a man. Grow up.
I'm going to get yelled at probably for the rest of the show. I don't really. That was like this huge thing yesterday. I don't see why that's such a big deal.
Because you're a man.
No. I'm saying that the fact that he said that became like this. No, I don't know. I'm going to get made up.
That's his appeal process.
Oh, no. But I just don't see that. To me, it's not a big deal. I mean, obviously, they're going to say
that. Joke.
They told him to cover it up. Okay.
Right. I think it's a joke.
They already
that's
punished.
Your defense.
I mean, they already.
I think the response by the league is, had he told you to jump off a bridge, would you, just like your mother
no,
said to
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't
that's
I don't
part
care.
Of the
I'm not saying that I
was that cover-up.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fall under coach's duties. It doesn't fall under coach. You know, you have to listen to your coach. We're all taught that. Well, when there's a league investigation and the commissioner is coming and, you know, for all we know, FBI is involved, that surpasses listen to your coach when he tells you to go in on third down. There's a difference
there.
Well,
especially with these assistants, some of these players and these assistant coaches, everyone says you have to do what they say, but they move around so much. There's no, like, you're at the mercy.
But they played on that. Yeah. Vitt told him, I brought you into this league. I brought you to the Saints. Do as I told or you're, you know.
I know,
pissing on our relationship and everything I've invested in.
Yeah. You brought up another subject that maybe we can get into later about the 18-game schedule and a proposal for handling that in the light of all the safety issues.
Because some people would just want to say with, you know, Junior Seau and all these concussions and the loss, that just forget the 18-game schedule. I don't think the league wants to do that because money and all that. And one of the proposals is a, I think, very interesting one that you can only play 16 games. I think it's fascinating.
I think it's fascinating
to somehow think about, you know, how Bill Belichick would monitor Tom Brady and
I don't like
when
it
he
one
wouldn't
bit.
Play him. And you don't like anything.
I just
don't like you.
Look, I'm
what?
Not.
What? Did you just say it?
Not really.
To me, it just.
I think you did.
To me, it just smacks of like the type of personnel decisions a fantasy football player has.
But that's where we're going.
I know.
That's where this league is gone.
As a fan.
Big scores.
I don't want you to get tackled anymore, so you might as well just go the whole way.
I would just hate. You know, this is the game Tom Brady doesn't
that's
play, and
what
we
I
end
said
up
to
losing
Andy.
It.
That's
I
what
would
I said
just
to Andy.
That.
So,
just,
Andy and I came up. We were talking about this earlier. What's really the crux of this argument? Fans, especially season ticket holders, don't like preseason, right? Can we agree on that?
It is, but it should be two separate issues.
Right, but
but it is.
It's not that fans are clamoring for 18 games, as Roger Goodell has said periodically. That he's heard from fans that want they don't want 18
They're clamoring
games.
For two less preseason.
They don't
games.
Like preseason the way it currently stands.
Right.
So Andy and I were batting this about earlier and came up with the idea that you make preseason games free of charge, half price for parking, and then you sell your concessions. That way, the owners can get their concession money, and fans can feel like, all right, I'm not paying for this game that really isn't that great a game.
And the just coaches, so you know. The two tickets, we're going to slide that into their season ticket price a year down the road. So if they were paying $3,000 for
so again,
the full
again,
schedule.
So, again, it's a perception thing.
Well, that's what I've argued all along.
Right, you have.
You buy the right to be at every game the Patriots play, and that right costs $3,000 or whatever it is. I don't know why people get fixated on, oh, they charged me $72 for that game in August. Well, okay, so we'll take the 72 off and divide it over the other games. Yeah, you're still getting your regular season games. You're still getting Tom Brady just as often. You're paying the same price. You just look at it differently.
Andy's point is stop looking at what you're paying for the preseason game and look at it as this is what I'm paying for the eight regular season
games. This is the
nut.
Exactly. This is the nut, right.
And now
you just raise the nut so the owners aren't making a dime less than they're making now.
Exactly. You get great PR out of the free. Because I think coaches.
But Eric, the face value of my ticket, if I want to go sell that on the secondary market, it's more fair to me as the consumer because.
I can't imagine there's a huge secondary market for preseason.
No, I'm talking about.
I'd like to know the percentage.
For my regular season. The face value of my regular season game has gone up, so I can recover that money if I want to resell it. Whereas now, if I wanted to sell my whole season ticket package and get the money back that I paid, I'd have to include the preseason or else I'm out
the cost of two games. Right.
But nobody's buying those preseason games.
No.
So now at least I can sell somebody a face value ticket and I get my money back.
Yeah. But whatever the season tickets are right now. Now, the way that you'd need to go about it, I think, is to stop making the people. I think that you still have to find a way to not make the people buy those preseason games. And I don't know if that would work. On the surface, I kind of like Andy's idea, you know, without giving it a whole lot of thought. But
it was our idea.
I'm sorry, Eric. I didn't realize this. You know, when you guys were discussing the ramifications
around here.
It's
ridiculous.
When you guys were, you know, hard at work today, when I was commuting in this morning, discussing the cultural ramifications of the movie 300, which we're going to get to, I think, because I can't believe how upset it's made Andy.
I don't think it's fair.
Oh, you can't believe how upset it's made him?
I think
you should know exactly why.
Clearly, we know why.
Yes.
We'll get to that later. That's right. The closet door closing. Anyway.
Don't think it's right.
I just don't think it's right. On the surface, I kind of like Eric and Andy's idea about the free preseason game. Alphabetical order. Andy and Eric, as he says off mic, Andy was very upset.
I think
upset.
What I'm most shocked about here is that Andy gave Eric credit.
Yeah, which means it must have been Eric's idea.
No, it was an open discussion. We were batting it back and forth.
He wanted
to get rid of preseason games altogether. And I said, I don't think coaches would like that, even if they had scrimmages.
Wait a minute, stop now.
Can we stop for a second with
we can't do that when, you know, we play college football at a pretty high level in this country and we don't have preseason games?
That's a good point.
So, I mean, I understand there's a difference. A lot of colleges have the luxury of scheduling Cupcake U, and that serves as a preseason game for them. It's almost like a way to get out there and you know, quote unquote, find where the play clock is, you know, without really the danger of losing the game. And the pros wouldn't have that because there's no matter how bad that worst team in the league is, in the pros you can lose to anybody on any given week. So if you're not ready to go, you're not ready to go. But I do think that the importance of playing all these preseason games is a little bit overblown. I don't think it. I think if it's like anything else, and Andy says this all the time, if you start doing things a certain way, well, that just becomes the way you do them, and you stop wondering. We can't do it because we don't do.
Right.
We need that.
But you also have to.
5 years from now, no one would say we can't do it anymore because we need those four preseason games.
You do also, though, in the pros have to factor in the roster cut down, which you don't have to worry about in college.
I understand, but again, you can evaluate your talent. I mean, like I said, 5 years from now, no one would say, how am I supposed to find out who my eighth defensive back is if I don't have a preseason game? Right. You figure it out.
And I also think worry about that in college. You have depth charts, you have redshirt years, guys you decide he's not ready to play. So there is a numbers game these college coaches play.
But I think you started to see the last couple of summers the increase in dual training camp practices. And I think that's a trend that the NFL should try to foster a little bit more as a way of making preseason more meaningful is as far as evaluating your talent against other competition. You don't want to just keep banging the same heads all day because you're on the same team, you're fighting for jobs, whatever. But I liked the competition we had when the Saints came here, when we went down to Atlanta. That, I think, is very good for coaches. If they use it more.
And it's actually a return to the old days. I mean,
sure.
It was only a decade ago. Every team in the NFL did that. Everybody had a practice partner.
Right. The Giants used to
come
here quite a bit.
Yeah. The Giants came here in 01.
Sure. I lost all my Dell's lemonade. to the head coach of the Giants 1 year.
What do you mean?
I'll tell that story after the break. We'll be right back.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. To honor Fenway's 100th birthday, we're having a one-week ticket sale on Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Ace Ticket has your Boston Celtics playoff tickets on sale right now. Be there as the Celtics chase Banner 18. Treat yourself or someone special and take advantage of our free and easy pickup by the Garden in Fenway Park. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
What would make your business better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a business checking account, better banking is a package of business solutions with preferred rates and better resources, along with customizable options designed to fit your business perfectly. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. Let us show you how dedicated we can be to your business. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows. And a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, babe.
It was
hang
attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. A lot of topics on the table. Before we went to the break, do you want me to tell the story?
Yeah, it's Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have their practice, their training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, there would always be a Dell's truck set up. And I love Dell's
frozen lemonade.
It's,
yeah.
It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why.
It's awesome.
It's great. So I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice. And one day, I decided, oh, you know what? I'm going to
call slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. It's much better than slush.
It's tastier.
Yeah. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys, Dell's. So I go to the Dell's truck and I get a tray of, I think I had like nine cups of Dell's.
You were there for this, Paul?
Yeah. So I'm walking back, and just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, who at the time was, I forget his name.
Jim Fossil.
And he's the first one in the lead. So, you know, as I'm walking by, I say, Coach, welcome to, you know, the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. So he goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like, Kraft when Putin took the ring.
Yeah.
What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
I think that was your fault. You weren't really clear. If
yeah.
I saw some,
right.
You got to try a Dell's.
Welcome.
Front,
you
right.
got to have a Dell's. I would think they're saying, yeah, have these.
I could see what
you get for trying to be an ambassador.
That's right.
Keep your head down and your mouth shut like I would have.
I could totally see where he, you know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dell's. All right.
Good story, though, to go to bed with.
Yeah. You get another story for Oh, you didn't think it was a good one, Pepe?
No, I was saying, you know, to the fact that you had your Dell stolen. I would be pissed off if I had my Dell stolen.
I was.
The fat kid says I'd be pissed off if they took my food.
Now, had you heard that before, Andy?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
Okay. But you
I've never heard that, no.
That's funny, because when you started telling that story, I didn't remember it, but as soon as you said that you had the big tray for all of us, then, you know, right. Of course, now I was involved because I lost my Dells.
No, I
so Paul was angry, too.
You did, Dells, right?
You
didn't
did. I? You did.
I had enough cash in my pocket that day.
Of course, you're rich.
Yeah.
That was also before he was married.
Those were the days. Brian Collie used to ride my bike.
What, before you were married?
I brought my bike to training camp, and I would ride my bike around.
His beautiful wife was in the Boston Globe today, or, well, at least
really?
In the...
Boston.com.
Boston.com.
For...
Slideshow as the... Pilates instructor at the cheerleader boot camp.
Oh.
Which didn't look like it was very easy. They showed him running up the ramps here. You know the ones, Paul, where when you walk up them, you're sucking wind to get to a Belichick press conference? They were running up them.
Yeah, no, that boot camp
what
is...
What do you mean? When you say you mean me?
Yeah, you. I said, Paul, you. You know, you.
Walking up those ramps doesn't make
oh,
you...
Oh, you're
wind.
Always sucking wind.
Only if I'm eating at the same time, which, you know, let's face it, we don't do that.
Yeah, those boot camps for the cheerleaders are exactly that. They're tough.
And it was like at night, and they were doing push-ups on the top level under the lights and stuff.
It's a tough workout.
I, of course, was just flipping through to see if I saw any boobs.
Right. You're looking for cleavage.
Yes.
And he thought it was cheerleader booty camp.
There was a couple that I liked.
Cleavage and camel toe.
No.
What? Can you say that?
I don't really look for that.
You're not allowed to say that?
I don't know if you are or not. I'm just questioning.
It's the
Paul
same
was
thing.
Offended when he played... But this guy's just camel toe, and
it's
Paul
just cleavage
chewing.
In a different area, right? That's all it is.
Yeah. I was only offended at you.
I don't think it's just cleavage in a different area. Women show cleavage. It's a lot. That's a public. You're allowed to show that in public. You're not allowed to show your camel toe in public.
Have you been? All right. I'm going to hold off on that one. All right. Web radio.
For off the air, apparently.
Web radio at pages.com, 508-298-0398. Is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Oh, I think I know what he's talking about. I know what he's referring to.
I don't.
Any
we'll have to talk about it off the air.
Give me a hint.
No, I can't.
Fred, give me a hint.
No. Terry in D.C. says that NFL.com is running a photo essay that draws parallels between Fred's religion and the NFL. Lots of attention paid to the Pats. Will Fork is Jabba.
I don't think he's going to care for that.
Tom Brady is Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader, and Belichick is obviously the Emperor. So that's on NFL.com.
Who's the little, like, worm thing that talks funny that everybody hates? Jar Jar Binks or something?
Jar Jar? Oh, Jar Jar Binks, yeah.
Who's that?
Oh, I don't know.
I like him. Brady would be more like Luke Skywalker. Well, not Anakin, right?
You can't be both. You got to be...
That's what I mean.
Right.
I think it'd be more like Luke.
Yeah, oh, those are all bad guys that they mentioned.
Anakin becomes good again
becomes
at the
good
end.
Again, right.
What's it like, wrestling? There's conflict.
Right. He's a heel for a while.
Yeah.
Right, you're going to have to carry this. We don't really know that much about Star Wars. So
no one else cares but you.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that the other day was National Star Wars Day.
They have that?
Yeah.
You didn't.
When was
like,
that?
Wear your costume?
It's May 4th.
May 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
Oh, May the 4th be with you. That makes a lot of sense, Matt.
I almost just swore.
Pepe, that's the first time somebody explained it to me that way. Thank you.
Wasn't the
geeks
when did the first movie come out? It was May, right? May of 77?
Oh, I have no idea.
You don't know when the first movie came out?
I remember seeing it, but I don't remember when it was.
Because I think it was in May.
I only knew that because it was all over Twitter.
Yeah.
It was so right before check out Cinco de Mayo,
what day
you have May the 4th.
What day the first Star Wars debuted?
So all Star Wars fans have lists?
Pretty sure it was
May
of 77,
with you.
But I can't remember what day.
Michelle Stockholm from Sweden writes
nice.
In.
Michelle, no, okay.
Well, she
from Stockholm.
Right. Thanks for the draft coverage. Friendly banter just reached a whole new level. Had me crying from laughing, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Sad to see Seau trending on Twitter for all the wrong reasons. May he rest in peace. Sad to see Matt Light retire, even though I'm glad he gets to quit the game he loves so much on his own terms. And a sincere thank you to him for protecting Brady's blind side for all these years. Now, I hear Adai is signed, and I hear somewhere he'll be a good fit. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. We don't need anyone else catching the ball. We need a durable third down back, as far as I'm concerned. Am I wrong? And hasn't he been injured for the past 4,233 seasons he's played, and isn't there someone else we could have gotten out of free agency? Can't help but miss Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Keep up the good work. And last but not least, thoughts on this attached pick. I don't know whether to laugh, cry, or both. Oh, and they've got a picture of Brady and Welker at the Kentucky Derby. Yeah,
Brady's got a new hairstyle.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know.
What is
well,
he
this
doing?
Is the one with him and Giselle from last
Met,
night at the,
well,
the
looks,
Met Gala.
Yeah,
this is just beyond
oh, that's
awful.
That's the new hair thing.
Yeah, and the one at the Kentucky Derby was the same kind of right. thing.
This is just awful.
What is he doing with the hair?
I guess it's called it's like some Eurohawk or something like that. It's like a name for it.
A Eurohawk.
I don't know what I don't know what she's done with him, but I wish he would.
As a male,
whoa, no,
I wish she would give him back.
Don't blame her. He grew up that way with the sisters. He's been that.
Well, he might have
life.
Been always been being dressed up with them.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
He
know,
but when he first,
but wait a minute.
When he first took over, he had a normal, like, short haircut.
And what happened?
Well, when he first. When he,
no.
He let it grow.
But what I'm saying is he may have had a metro side to him from the start, and I agree with Andy, he did. But he never, I mean, for 8-9 years, he never did some of these things with his hair that he's done over
exactly.
the last, like,
well,
3 or 4.
Well,
because he had some issues along the line there, I think. And couldn't.
Well. As an American male, you don't
saying.
Want to do anything that has
saying?
Euro in the front of it. You don't. You just don't.
Euro weenie?
Or Euro bag or Euro anything. You know?
Yeah, that just means gay.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, well, that's what he's saying.
Like that College Game Day promo with...
You know, not unlike the movie...
What was
Desmond
Howard, right. Yeah. You wouldn't know about that, would you? And he goes, no, I would not.
It's European or something like that. But, you know, not like the movie 300, right, Andy?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a Euro movie, apparently.
So what is this with the movie 300?
I found out this morning.
I thought you talked about this.
It's
He's setting him up.
But you were part of this. I need you to be part of this.
It's called a setup.
Well, it's a bad one. I need you to attack him.
It would have been good if you let him do it.
We already set it up the last segment.
Oh, God.
Did you miss? Were you really not paying attention when I said that Andy was in the closet?
We didn't make it clear what we were talking about.
Really?
No.
So me saying that Andy was in the closet is not clearly that I'm calling him gay.
We're going to argue about this now?
Obviously.
Andy,
okay. I'm sorry I ruined it. I thought I set this up by
rewind.
Saying that Andy was gay.
Andy, what is this about the 300?
apparently listening to Boston Drive Time Radio this morning, and they have a gay producer, an openly gay producer who's considered the gay voice of reason, basically, on the show. 300 is a gay movie. And they were making fun of one of their other co-hosts that really likes the movie. I happen to really like the movie, and I don't understand why it's a gay movie. Just because there's a lot of men with their shirts off that are glistening in the oil.
Well, you just said it.
Then wrestling's gay.
Okay.
And then we can...
Yes!
And, you love wrestling. There.
And we can never make another movie, by the way, just about 1,000 years ago, but, when they didn't have shirts and they walked around as warriors.
Just because you like a movie, and I do too, that gay men like for another reason doesn't mean you
they
have to be offended.
They can't claim it as gay. That's not their right. It's just like wear jeans for gay day at Tufts, where everybody was told to wear jeans to support... You can't claim jeans. Everybody wears jeans every day. You can't claim something and pretend that everybody's supporting
on
you.
On a particular day, you can.
No,
Sandy
that's not right.
Sandy wore wind pants that day.
Look, I don't see where the big problem is.
They can't. It's not a gay movie. A gay movie is Brokeback Mountain. It's about gay men who have gay sex. That's a gay movie. Correct? As I said to you earlier, because we discussed this earlier, as Paul wanted to point out, if there's a movie about hot women, a bunch of women, is that a lesbian movie? Because
okay.
There's women.
I'll give you an example,
or a bunch of butch women in the lesbian.
When
life.
I first
is that
got married,
movie?
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback. Okay, the woman across the street comes over and says, "Oh, you have a Subaru Outback? That's a lesbian car." And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you? I looked.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Take offense at it.
You
have a hang-up.
No, the implication was you can't watch it. It's a gay movie.
No, that was not the implication.
Yes, it was.
You
they
can
were
watch
making
it to
fun
your heart's
of
content.
Billy, they because were... he loved the movie and mocking him.
Who was making fun of him?
Matt and Maddie. The woman and
because Billy is much like Andy,
right?
A closeted homo.
Exactly. Only people who make fun of it have the problem, not the people who watch it. That's my point. That woman across the street,
but the gay guy was making fun of the non-gay guy for watching a gay movie. That's how it was unfolding.
Well, because he probably knew that the guy he was making fun of would take offense to it and would get upset about it. If the guy
he didn't actually really get that upset about it.
No, because
he kind of
like Googled a picture and goes, yeah, it does look kind of gay.
Yeah, but nor would I. It's a great movie.
It is a phenomenal movie.
It's stylistic. It was different.
I don't see how it can be viewed as a gay movie.
I can.
Well, you're an
expert. And I have no problem with it.
Have you seen Gerard Butler's penis?
Never seen it.
No.
I've never seen the movie, so I can't comment on
you've
whether
he's
or not.
Philosophically opposed to those types of movies.
But I
Braveheart.
But I can understand when you guys keep talking. And I remember a couple of years ago we had a punch of Danny Bogger. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy that ended up beating up his father.
Yeah.
And we released him shortly after that. He was a pretty big punter in terms of, you know, his upper body. His arms were big. And I asked him about it.
Not as big as the other
guy. You're pretty
guy.
Big for a punter. And he's like, yeah, I saw the movie 300 and I wanted to get all jacked like those guys, which I thought was really odd to me. Yeah. You saw a movie and that,
right.
Whatever.
Well, I know a guy.
But
no,
I didn't,
he was probably as you saw Rocky.
High but I didn't see the movie, okay? So I didn't really think that much of it. But since then, you guys have explained to me, I think, Andy, when Bogger said that, you said to me, oh, yeah, there's like these guys are all, they're just jacked out and they have no shirts on the whole movie.
Gerard Butler had a 6-month like training routine to get to
right.
look
today
like that.
Today they brought it to another level on 108, which I did hear this conversation on Kiss 108 this morning by saying that they were all oiled up the whole time. And I'm like,
well, they are.
Oh, yeah, I get it. I didn't see the movie, but I get what they're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't think that, you know, a gay man would watch bodybuilding?
He might.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, but just like we would watch a swimsuit contest, you know?
What? Right, but I think Andy's point is the gay guy, what's his name on the show?
Billy. Billy. Well, oh, no. Jim. Gay Jim.
He was trying to make the point that it's a gay, quote unquote, it's a gay movie.
So if you like it, you're gay.
Is that what he was trying to say?
That was kind of the implication. Gay people watch it, gay people like it. You liked it. A plus B equals C.
So is...
But he was kidding around, obviously.
Oh, yes. But there's a little bit of truth in every joke. I mean, it's clearly, on some level, considered a gay movie. Their point was, apparently, there was a spoof movie made about how gay it was. What was it called?
I don't know, but...
Oh, there are a lot of those kind of spoof movies.
But it was...
Gay Jim said
it was about how gay
it was. It's so gay that there was a movie that they made, you know, spoofing how gay 300 was.
Right.
I don't know what they're talking about. I didn't see it, so... But
I just find it.
It's nothing gayer. I told him.
I found it very interesting how upset Andy got.
The point is, Andy's now crossed it off his list because someone said.
Now I have, and I've crossed them off my list for judging me.
But Andy brought up Top Gun. Okay.
Gay.
Top Gun, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Right.
Not in terms, Brooklyn Matt, before you get all mad. Okay. Not in terms of anything that was like, you know, lasting and just a funny, silly movie that we all realize had nothing to do with real life. Okay. But that is one of the gayest scenes that you'll ever see when they're playing volleyball.
Paul went down to Revere Beach right after that movie and started taking up beach volleyball, right?
Sure. Okay.
Well, I also like the implication that narcissism is gay.
Rocky III.
Why is narcissism gay?
Rocky III, when Apollo and Rocky are running on the beach, and then they're all oiled up and in the tight tank tops and
short shorts,
and they run on the beach and they're done.
That sound a little gay.
They jump around and they hug.
Right, right.
A very gay scene.
Especially with the slow motion, too.
Right. Oh, my God. It was ridiculously over the top.
You
make fun of it. Doesn't mean you don't love the movie. Those are some of my favorite movies.
Right.
It was a bad era for Fast Two back then.
Extremely uncomfortable
with the short shorts and everything.
Right. Just, the homoeroticism of that scene is just off the charts.
Which one?
The Rocky Apollo scene. Okay. Ridiculous.
Right.
But Andy's very upset about it.
But I don't hear people say that's the gayest movie ever. That's a gay movie.
Because in the back of his mind, he's thinking, they got me. I don't know how they figured it out.
Well, 300 was 2 hours of that. Not the hugging, but, you know, men.
But again, it took place thousands of years ago, where I assume warriors who had to trek thousands of miles were in good shape, sweaty, and probably had no shirts on. Oh my God, they were gay.
To which I said,
and they were killing each other.
Why wasn't Braveheart like that? Now, Braveheart, I did see.
Because it was winter.
A lot of dirty guys.
It was cold. It was winter.
Not a lot of hugging.
A lot of
way
dung.
Way farther north.
What did you say?
Dung.
It wasn't in the same climate.
A lot of dung.
That's just a funny. That's a funny word.
Yeah.
Especially
all right. Anyway,
like
let's get to some emails.
I also ranted about how they're doing 302 apparently, and I don't understand because
they're calling
dead.
It 600.
Yes, you use that joke. It wasn't funny upstairs.
Oh, a double. Da-da-da-da.
Mike is in Kennebunk, Maine. He says, some quick questions.
Quick
percentage of the Minnesota franchise will be moving to L.A. Apparently, really low now.
Yeah, Minnesota. They approved a measure that would increase the amount that the Vikings would have to pay.
It passed the House, and now it's in the Senate.
Yeah, but they jacked up the Vikings, and they said the Vikings said it's not a workable deal.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I thought this was an approved thing.
Well, no, it was approved, but the Vikings were supposed to give
contingent
X
on the fact that
they said, well, actually, you're going to give X plus Y, and then we passed it.
Oh.
Well, that's not what we said.
So the Vikings didn't approve this ahead of time.
They jacked up the Vikings'
investment. All right, so this is... All right, so
50-50.
50-50.
So it's not one of those things like when I say to my wife, if we can do this, then I'll do it. And then when she does that, I say, well, no, I meant this and that.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Not even close to
it. I'm guessing in big business you don't get away with
this. This was essentially the same as the NFL has passed HGH testing. It'll start next week, as long as the players approve
it. Right, and which they hadn't. Percentage that Tom Brady will be opening day quarterback for the L.A. franchise, whenever that happens.
Zero.
Zero? Yeah.
Andy's going to put it at 4.7%.
Well, you think he's going to get run out of town at some point here.
I don't think there's going to be an L.A. franchise when Tom Brady's playing quarterback. So I'm putting it at zero.
Well, this has got to come to a head pretty quickly,
I agree with Minnesota.
I mean, you're coming down the home stretch here.
I think it's got
to... Hooper, get off the potty.
Exactly.
I guess.
And if they get off the potty, then they take the potty to L.A.
They could go to Toronto. Yeah.
Then LA can say, let's get this potty started.
I think
tickled my funny bone.
LA is the more attractive place.
Oh, sure.
And it's
closer to ready. Don't they have?
They have two competing guys who want to build a stadium. They got to be close to ready.
And they essentially said that if Minnesota.
An impressive facility.
Set of breasts.
Too.
Oh, yes. You meant football, not the infomercial.
I'm sorry. Andy was thinking about 300 again.
What's that, Pepe?
Haven't they said if Minnesota doesn't get a new stadium, that they'll move the franchise to L.A. and have them play in the Coliseum until the new stadium is built?
Who said There's been talk of that.
I've heard a bunch of different reports on that.
Yeah, I mean, it could be leverage. It could be a threat.
The process in L.A. is down the road. They have designs on stadiums. They have, what is it, something city?
Oh, yeah.
That place that doesn't really exist.
Doesn't mean anything.
Xanadu?
It's more than what is in Toronto. There's nothing in Toronto. Nothing.
I thought they already had that stadium.
There's a crappy dome. A crappy
age-old crappy dome.
So,
yes,
Center
if you want to put a team in a, what do you say, a poop-bum dome, then yes. I thought they wanted to get out of a poop-bum dome and go to a new stadium. That's how this all came together.
I think Rogers Center's a hell of a lot better than Metrodome, though.
Well, I don't know it's that much better. I really don't. I think it's, okay, maybe it's a little better, but if they wanted to stay in a crappy dome,
I think they, have,
they could
like,
stay in Minnesota.
But they would probably also get a sweet deal.
I mean, I don't. I agree with
Plus,
you
no
about.
Plus, no one wants to play in Canada.
Yes, that's my larger point I agree with you on.
I mean, to me, there is no check mark that Toronto gets. All the check marks go to L.A.
Absolutely. L.A. versus Toronto, L.A.
What
wins.
About for Buffalo to go to Toronto?
There is more check marks for them in Toronto because they're there. I mean, you could maintain a fan base. You're not starting from scratch.
What are the draft picks the Patriots will get for Tom Brady if... See, that's a dumb question because it depends. It is.
Wow, now we're openly mocking you. Well, I thought that was my, that's, I mean, that's my job.
When would they be trading him? You know, if it's right now, you'd get a king's ransom. If it's 3 years from now, maybe not. I don't know.
What would you get if it was right now? What's a king's ransom right now?
Two first round picks.
Because I think it's lower than you think, because I think that general perception, that general... ransom, I think, has decreased in the last year or two.
Do you think so? I would want...
Like, there's good players getting traded all of a sudden for not what you would think they would be getting.
Well, it goes
now, I don't
in
know
waves.
If Brady would just be an exception to that because he's so transcendent. I don't know.
You remember when we had the Matt Cassel discussion a few years ago when he was still on the team and people were deciding, do we want to keep him? Weren't we talking three first-round picks for Brady at that time, just among ourselves?
Yes. I think we threw that out there.
Yes.
I think you can take one of those first-round picks out of the discussion.
I think you might be able to take two out.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think it might be a first-round pick at this point. Maybe something else, but I don't think you're going to get two ones.
I think you'd easily
get two ones. Yeah,
you might
two
be
ones.
Right.
I think
you
could get two.
You might be right.
Now, the team has to want to do it. That's, I mean, depends who the franchise builder is.
Does he want to build
a long-term thing, or is he looking to splash immediately with Tom Brady?
If it's an L.A. team, right, and they want to bring Brady back to California, they'd be willing, I think, to part with two first-round picks for the star factor of getting a Tom Brady.
Sure.
Because he would draw, he would be...
But that's
you know what I
mean? Totally up to the actual GM.
You're right.
You know, it's or the Jaguars owner. Versus the... Well, the owner, when
the
he
owner
hires
could,
the GM, will
says,
know
this
who
is
the
what
guy...
we're going to do.
It's the Jaguars Panthers. Do you go quick or do you try to go slow? Do you try, you know, there's two different schools of thought kind of thing.
You know what's really interesting about that? That'd be a good case study to really look at and analyze those two that you just brought up there, the Jags and the Panthers, because they did both go about it much differently and they both succeeded.
Right.
And they both were good pretty quick.
Yeah.
Second year.
You know,
they both went to the
the conference title, both of them in the second year. Now, I think history will show you Jacksonville's way was better. Jacksonville built a better lasting team under Coughlin than Carolina did. But it would be really interesting to look at that and see how much that perception is reality, you know, the quick fix as opposed to the veterans.
Steven writes and he says, 300 is overly homoerotic and done so on purpose. And
Homer?
Yes, wrestling is very homoerotic. In 300, there are tons of references.
Don't blame the emailer because Fred can't read.
In 300, there are tons of references. Best friend warriors talking about watching each other's behinds, etc. Director Zack Snyder is commenting on hyper-masculinity. Same kind of thing he did with Sucker Punch, which takes women in lingerie fighting robots more uncomfortable and exploitive than sexy. So he says it was done on purpose.
I've never heard of Sucker Punch.
See, now,
Andy's going to go watch that movie later tonight.
Let me give you a hypothetical, Andy. This is total hypothetical. If that guy meant it, as what this emailer is saying, you know, it was kind of a tweak. Let's just say that he is gay and meant it as this anthem for the gay movement. Would that interrupt your
hyper masculine?
Yeah, it was
no.
Commentary on over hyper masculinity.
It's a hypothetical. Hypothetical.
Man in the tailpipe over there.
Would that like take away from your enjoyment of the movie if you found out the guy made it for gay people? He wanted it to be a gay movie.
I think you are well aware that I don't care what other people think in terms of what I like.
Yes, you do.
No, I actually don't. I dress for what I dress with in the 90s. I like the music that I like. I like the movies that it's very simple. I like it. I don't like it. I don't like other people, whether it be a gay man telling me it's a gay movie or a pompous music producer named Brooklyn Matt to tell me what I should like and what is classy and what is good.
Why do you tell everybody else what they should like?
What do I tell you to like?
Why do you always...
The only thing I tell you what to do is work out with weights, not computers.
Why are you always judging everybody else?
And we're back.
Who do I judge?
You judge everybody you see.
I did judge a kid at the gym the other day. He was wearing a shirt that he had cut not only the arms off, but the whole sides out.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
I mean,
that's
he needs to get beat up.
Don't
tell
me
you
didn't do that at the gym.
I know. I've cut my sleeves off. Cutting the whole side of the shirt off. I don't know what that is.
Cutting it like all the way down to the bottom.
Yeah. I know. Yeah,
so
I know
it's like it's barely like
so it was
connected.
Like a sandwich board.
No. Yeah. Otherwise it was not as, connected.
Oh, otherwise known as the revere
at
look.
At the neck.
Oh really?
And he's wearing this around the gym. And the kid's an Ethiopian. He's got nothing to show off. He's skinny as can be. Like so, it's not even like, oh look at me, I'm jacked.
It'd be okay. It would have been okay if he was jacked.
No.
It'd be okay.
No. Talk about. Oh, hyper masculinity.
No,
over
the
here.
Difference is, if
oh
you're
God.
Jacked,
I don't
you
want
can
you watching my
yourself.
Behind.
It'd be okay.
Do they actually say "watch
jacked.
My behind" or do they say "watch my back"?
Probably. I don't know. I forget.
I'd like to know that because I don't remember the "watch my behind."
Why? I think if they had said that, you would have laughed when you watched it the
yes,
first time.
Yes, and I would have. The movie would have lost credibility.
They would say "watch the rear end." He shakes his rear end.
Yeah, it would have become that Birdcage movie with that gay guy.
Well, you
Nathan
know what it's
going to
be.
Or whatever.
It's going to be like the Crying Game now.
No, that's something different.
No, the Birdcage.
Yeah,
he's
which
right.
was a very good movie, by the way.
But it was
very
a gay
funny.
Movie.
It was about
gay
Will
people.
Will and Grace was a gay
show.
So 300 was not about gay people in any way.
So our heterosexual
four gay people. It was so, not so five
answer,
gay people.
So the answer to my question
people.
Is the answer to my question is yes. It would take away enjoyment because if the guy actually did make it about gay
no,
people,
it would
bother you.
So, I'm sure so there's Andy, plenty of things I like made by gay people.
If there's
am
movie,
I wrong? There's got to be
no,
gay musicians I like. Gay,
but
know,
only if you only
gay.
If you know about it though.
If Doogie Howser,
it's like a subliminal thing, it bothers you.
No, Doogie Howser is funny. The whatever his name is, he's gay. I'm fine with that.
Neil Patrick Harris.
So if there's a movie
but he's
about
not gay on the show.
If there's a love story between two heterosexual people, are gay
he's
people not
me seriously?
Like,
no.
Supposed
no one
to like
takes
that?
Me seriously.
What?
If there's a movie about two heterosexual lovers, are
is
gay
it deemed a heterosexual movie?
Well, yeah.
Am I telling the gay people?
Are gay people
oh,
not allowed
no, no, no.
to like it?
So if I go up to the gay guy and say, "Oh, you liked that movie? That was a heterosexual movie. So you must be heterosexual. You're not really gay because
well, no.
you liked that movie
but
and
if
it was
you
heterosexual."
That, but if
it's
you said
the exact same thing,
right? And if you said that, you're stupid.
They said it, not me. Gay Jim.
Evidently, Minnesota's supposed to vote on that today.
I think all they're saying is
we're
that they really
what?
Like it.
No, they were that implying that if you like it, you're gay.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, that was the implication.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Dan.
You need a drink.
We need a timeout. We need a timeout here.
Dan and Harriet's on the line. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, guys. How are you?
What's say Harriet?
More importantly, how's Harriet?
She's good. It's,
sound down to me
here now that you know, graduating and stuff.
But, what are you going to do after graduation?
Probably hit up some radio stations I used to intern at a few years ago.
Oh, nice.
Some work experience.
Good. Good luck with that.
But I wanted to chime in on the whole 300 debate. 300 historical piece, not necessarily gay, but taking conversation points from Kiss 108, a little gay.
Thank you.
I love Kiss 108. It's the best morning show by far. No one's even a close second. No
right.
one's a close second in Boston. In Boston.
It's because Paul's gay.
But see, here's the problem. I mean, your problem. That doesn't bother me.
I don't care
that.
If right. people call me right. gay. Have I ever argued when you call me gay? Never argue. I don't like
no,
people
no.
assigning
no.
gayness
no.
to
take offense? No.
Movies,
no.
clothing, anything
yeah,
like
sure.
that. I don't care for it. They don't have the right.
Man, what are you going to do?
They don't have the right. No.
But I wanted to chime in on with the recent announcement of Gaffney signing and Adai, because I was a little frustrated last week hearing some people think that with all these additions to the receiving core, that all of a sudden we're going back to 07. And I think anybody who believes that is deluding themselves. I mean, Gaffney, maybe he gets a pass because he probably had one of his better years last year with Washington, but it's too little too late on Stallworth, I would say. I mean, in the last 4 years, I think he's had a combined 40 catches, and I don't think one of those went for over 20 yards. Yeah, granted, he had that issue with the drunk driving incident.
You know, the year suspension.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that factors in, but still, I mean, he couldn't start on the Ravens, who were hurting for receiver that year, if I remember correctly.
But I think aren't most people going with Lloyd and now Gaffney as the most likely to have major roles and the reason we could be going back to 07? You have Welker, you have better tight ends, you had Lloyd and Gaffney, and you're adding to an offense that threw for 5,000 whatever yards last year.
I would agree with that, assuming Lloyd comes as advertised. I mean, if he can be somewhere around what he was that year in Denver. And Gaffney, yeah, I'm wondering why they released Gaffney in the first place. My theory is that
he
wasn't exactly producing what they expected him to.
He had the best year of his career last year.
He led the team and had, career highs in yards and catches. Mm-hmm. Now, they brought in
some younger receivers.
And as I said, there was a whole weird Twitter thing going on a couple weeks ago where he claimed he was hacked, and I don't know if there was more to it than that, and maybe it was, off-field issues and personal issues or whatever, but there was something going on there that I'm not sure I buy was just flat-out hacked.
I don't know. I mean, it definitely as a role player and, maybe coming onto the field is maybe that fourth option. He could definitely do some damage. But
or fifth.
Other than
he
that,
might be your fifth option.
Like a bunch of guys.
Well, I mean, but you look at it. The stars, you can only have so many 1,000-yard receivers or great guys. And you have Gronkowski, who's expected to be great. He's, you now say he's a 1,000-yard receiver. He's, 70 to 100 catches at tight end. You have Hernandez at tight end, who I think you now expect to be a 70-catch guy knocking on the door of 1,000 yards. You have Welker, who's a 100-catch guy and a 1,000-yard receiver. Lloyd was a 1,400-yard receiver. I mean, there's only so many yards and catches to go around. I don't think you need necessarily Gaffney to be more than a 40-catch guy or a 30-catch guy. And certainly, Stallworth, Gonzalez, Ocho Cinco et al. Might not be on the team.
All I'm looking for is when the ball is thrown to you, catch it. That's what I'm
be where Tom wants you to be.
Yeah, I'm looking for reliability.
I agree with you guys. I think there's a finite number of completions and yards you're going to get. It doesn't matter to me who gets them as long as we're productive.
Now, the comparison to 07, the thing you're lacking is the big playability of Randy Moss, the ridiculousness of Randy Moss. Because I don't care what Lloyd had and some of the ridiculous catches he's made, going across the middle, the laying out. He's not Randy Moss. He could be a nice option. He can make the offense better. He's not Randy Moss 2007. That was historic.
And few are.
All I want to see from Brandon Lloyd. Like, I'll be satisfied with Brandon Lloyd if I know that Brady is confident that if he's getting that 4 or 5 man rush, that he can look Brandon Lloyd's way on, say, a 10-yard comeback row or a 15-yard in, that he'll be there. I mean, if he can do that, that'll be good enough for me.
That's the most important.
My only qualm with the receiving thing here is just, yeah, obviously, a guy like Gaffney, like you said, he's probably going to be the number 5 guy behind, Gronkowski and Hernandez and the tight end core. It just seems like a bunch of guys after that, and if one of those guys goes down, it seems like you're kind of right back where you started.
Yeah, but you're better than last year already. Right now, you're better than last year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
Fred's trickle-down theory, absolutely.
And the whole of the offense might be better than the sum of the parts compared to 07.
Sure.
Like you said, you don't have Moss, but you had the dimension of the two tight ends, plus a very, very good stable of receivers now, whoever those end up being, because they're not all going to make it, as we said. And even add some of the younger running backs.
So I wouldn't fixate on wide receivers 7 through 12 on the depth chart right now. They won't be here.
That's a very good way of looking at it. But I definitely think Adai is, like you guys said, I don't know if he has much left either.
But I don't expect him to do a whole lot either. That's the thing. I didn't think that the signing was, okay, he's our back. Right. He's the guy now. No. I didn't expect that signing
even
was.
Even as a third down back, I mean, it seems like you've got one, potential starter, but you're a little worried about him with, the ball control issue.
But
a third down back.
Let's say best case scenario, Ridley comes in, he's your main guy for most of the time. Vereen shows up and becomes the new Kevin Falk type. If something happens to either one of those guys, you have a veteran now.
And aren't we forgetting, wasn't Adai a pretty good blitz pickup guy?
Yeah, I believe he was.
Adai was very good in his day. Yeah. I mean,
like his wheel routes that Peyton Manning would hit just over the middle of the field. He was good at that. I don't know if he can still do that, though, now that's what I'm concerned about.
Well, we'll see. No,
I mean, he's had two injury-riddled
Thanks
seasons.
Thanks for the call, Dan.
He's not what he once was. Now, I always thought Joseph Adai, just a guy. Thought he was a jack of all trades, master of none, didn't care for him, overrated first round pick.
I think that, he was just in a system that didn't feature a running back,
No, I think the opposite. I think he got his production because he was in a system anybody would have.
Well, I think he was as productive as he was because you had to be pretty bad not to succeed in that offense. But I have no problem with signing him. I don't have a problem with signing him. I think he can play. I just wonder.
What if they cut Woodhead and keep him?
A couple of things I'm wondering about. What do you think the coaching staff feels about Shane Vereen?
I have no idea.
I don't either. I'm kind of concerned about
Pretty sure
fact
they felt good about him when they drafted him in the second round.
Okay, that's one concern with me, that they would sign a guy that, to me, is sort of like him. As another guy, you know, because you already have Woodhead who's like him.
But what if you cut Woodhead?
Okay, maybe you do. But my second concern is, and Dan alluded to this in his phone call, there's some ball security issues that we're wondering about with Ridley, okay? Now, the only thing that can solve that is, you know, a couple hundred carries without fumbling the ball. You know, then we'll feel better about it. Well, what if it doesn't improve? What if that continues to be a problem? He's really the only guy I feel great about between the tackles on a consistent basis. I don't like Woodhead when they run him between the tackles. Maybe Vereen is a guy that they feel better about. This is why I asked the question the first part.
I don't think they care. I think that's such a minuscule part of their offensive game plan that they don't care, value-wise. You know, maybe Ryan Grant's better at that, but if he wanted X million more or another year, whatever.
Well, that would be unfortunate if that was the case.
I just think the between the tackles running game for them is such a, it's like 0.7 on the offensive.
But what if? Would you agree that you need somebody to do it?
I don't know. I didn't think they really had anybody to do it last year, and they
not if you
went to a Super. As Fred said, they were so bad at it, they went to a Super Bowl.
But I do.
Everything
Andy, like,
just went out.
Everything.
What happened?
I lost everything.
Okay. What's going on,
Flash?
Matt? We can't hear anybody.
In the headsets.
Did you hit something? No.
Check the phone cord button that always hits.
We're
going to
assume that people can still hear us.
There's a button that you hit when you answer the phone with the cord.
So I'm going to keep doing.
No. Down on your board in that corner somewhere is a button that you guys always hit when you answer the phone.
Well, Kevin always hits it when he
press a button.
There you go.
Good. Andy Hart getting things done.
Well, it's happened regularly enough now.
You got to be careful with your cord in there.
Yeah, we might have to move that phone.
The between the tackles thing, no one probably in this room thinks less of the overall running game than I do. But I do think that over the last couple of years, they've been able to run the ball effectively inside the five. They've gotten into the end zone, and they've picked up a lot of short yardage between the tackles with Benny. If Ridley can't be that guy, I think you need that guy.
Then
you don't
find a guy. If you really feel you need that guy and it's not Tony Fiametta or something, you'll find a guy.
You can't. Please don't tell. That's the guy.
I don't think it's that big a deal. I really don't.
Okay.
I think it's, again, such a minuscule part of this offense and this team.
I agree. The running game is a minuscule part of the offense.
I think it's a little bit more
but
of a deal
kicking,
than you think
if
it is.
If you're kicking
maybe
field goals because you can't run it into the end zone, I think it becomes a bigger part of the problem. Well, what if you can't is what I'm saying.
And also,
You
know, when you need to take time off
any
the clock.
How many touchdowns does he have?
I just remember in the last few years, there's several times where we've said, geez, it would be nice if they could run the ball.
Well, yes, it would be nice if you could run the ball. But a lot of teams that can run the ball would say it would be nice if I could throw the ball.
Absolutely.
You can't do everything great.
Absolutely. But we're trying to make the perfect team.
Yeah, this whole thing, I don't really care about this whole, it'd be nice if you could. I don't really care about that as much as I do the specific elements that I think they did reasonably well with Benny.
And you should have re-signed Benny.
He wasn't worth it for that. I'm just saying.
Ryan Grant was looking for significantly less than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
No, I don't have
as a multi-time 1,200-yard back.
What I'm
who's
saying
still
is,
got something left.
I have no problem with saying I'm going to go from Benny to Ridley. But I'm just wondering if something happens and Ridley isn't the guy that we think he is. I think he is.
Well, you'll adjust on the fly.
I'm confident in
Ridley.
No,
but my point is, what would you have done differently to put together a running back roster?
I would have gotten a veteran. Instead of another third down guy, I would have gotten a veteran who could have filled in for Ridley if it doesn't go well.
But who?
I don't care. Someone who I think can run the ball between the tackles.
No, but does that guy exist?
I think Ryan Grant would be that guy.
No, but I just said, my guess, we know the guy existed. His name was Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. If you put a premium on it, then you re-sign him. And that's the argument of fans, that he was valuable to you. It's not that much money, 3 years, $9 million, re-sign him. But clearly they thought it was above and beyond what they wanted to spend. My guess is Ryan Grant was not significantly cheaper. Ryan Grant is a multi-time 1,200-yard back.
Maybe that's why they didn't sign him.
Right, that's my point. Right. And Adai came in at a price tag they were willing to go
for
a veteran back.
Okay, maybe you.
So it's all about money.
Well, I think money is
unfortunate.
If it weren't about money, I think Ben Jarvis Green Ellis would be your running back because he did fill the role that you needed on this offense.
Okay.
But I think we saw that it was about money, didn't we?
Sure.
I mean, it wasn't that obvious when he left.
Yeah. Right.
Christian writes in, so here I am homesick with 102 temperature feeling like death.
listening to the show on my iPhone app. Leave it to PFW to discuss gay movies and gay movie moments. Classic. The beach scene in Rocky III. Now that's gay. Still love the movie. Andy, relax. Did you know that bodybuilding was widely considered gay when it first gained notoriety? So does that mean you won't train anymore?
Well, I'm not a bodybuilder. I just...
Well, you want to be.
You wish you were.
Yeah.
No, actually, I don't. Yeah.
The only thing
I'm not willing to take steroids to eat chicken breasts anymore. For every meal of my life, eat broccoli for every meal of my life, and walk around in a Speedo with myself glistening and hairless.
And you're also not willing to work on your legs the way you
know. Right.
I mean, it has to be.
No, I have no problem with that. If I were like a professional bodybuilder, I like doing legs.
I know, but you didn't like it, so that's why.
Legs are fun.
As
a part-time workout guy, legs are hard to do. They make you sore. You can't run the next day. They take time, blah, blah, blah. Do they do leg? Now, do you do legs with
yes.
computer workout 7000?
Yes.
Yes. What do you do?
Squats.
Squats, presses.
Yeah.
Some curls.
Extensions.
Leg lifts.
Yeah, extensions. Yep.
Gluteus.
Yep. Maximus. Jeff writes
back
in,
to 300. No.
This year's schedule outside of Baltimore early and San Fran late.
Maximus.
It looks
thanks.
Like a setup for another 16-0 season.
I thought
with
he was
our
Greek.
Offensive firepower and the additions we made on defense, it looks to me that we have gone from one play away from winning the Super Bowl to securing it. What are your thoughts?
Well, weren't we one play away from going home against Baltimore? And I mean, there's a fine line there. No, I don't necessarily think this team is.
Hey, there's Andy.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a commercial with some guy watching a woman's workout video. And
now, is that gay or is that heterosexual or is it metrosexual? I don't know.
Well, it
know.
Appears as if he's married to the woman
it's
that he's talking to.
It's whatever it is
house,
that's going to bother you the most, and I'm going to keep
I
mean, on.
I don't know how to make these generalizations.
Jim and Walpole says,
wait, you didn't answer that guy's question.
What?
You
think what?
You think they're going to win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's already scouting locations.
But
in
legitimately,
New for us
legitimately,
to go.
Like looking at
when
it.
When was the last year that you didn't think that?
No, but, well. I've been kind of right in the fact that they
haven't been right in 7 years.
1994.
No.
I mean, if you're going to pick a team from the AFC in the last.
Well, I didn't ask you to pick a team from the AFC. I know we've gone to Super Bowls and been losing them lately. I asked you if they were going to win the Super Bowl. That means they have to beat teams from the NFC.
I think they will.
You're damn Skippy.
I think they will.
But okay. my point isn't whether or not you've been right.
Don't you? I think they are the favorite out of the AFC. I do not know that they're the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
I think Houston might have something to say about that.
Forget about who's the favorite. What do you think?
I think it's a long season, and I have no flippin' idea. Yeah. I am still scared to death defense.
I think you should be scared of Houston.
Until I see it, until I see improvement
and
on
potentially
defense.
Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they're going to walk away with it. No way.
Until I see some improvement
both of
on
those
defense,
teams,
I'm not willing
way.
To say it. But I know that they're going to be in the equation.
Right.
I know that.
Right.
And
they will be in the equation.
Unless
like I said,
catastrophe
with these moves, we've gone from competing for a Super Bowl to taking it or whatever.
Yeah, securing it.
Securing it.
I mean, I think that I think Eric makes a good point about Houston. I mean, Houston, I think, was probably the best all-around team in the AFC last year, and they lost their quarterback. Well, their quarterback is back.
Right.
So
unless he goes down again.
I think if you're on, you know, Texans.com right now, I think you can very, easily say they've gone from contending in the playoffs to winning it all.
Yep.
Because Matt Schaub is back. I mean, you could say
they didn't even want him back. They wanted Peyton Manning.
Jim and Walpole says the real question here is why
we're just in one of those moods. I'm not going to argue with you anymore.
Jim and Walpole says the real question here is why were two guys on their way to do a sports radio broadcast listening to Kiss 108?
I like Kiss 108. They play good music, and they have a funny morning show.
I actually shut it off when the music comes on, even though I do like the music. I like top 40 music. I'm not ashamed, as Andy would say. I'm not ashamed
of
that.
What do you have to say?
It's the best morning show in Boston.
And easily the highest rated. Blows away everybody else.
It's funny.
What do you got, Matt?
I can just picture Andy, like, bopping along on the highway.
Yes.
Like, singing to Katy Perry. And then,
when
like,
you're in the car for an hour, you got to stay happy.
Yeah, well, they don't understand.
No,
they don't understand.
I listen to it. I'm not saying I don't.
No,
but then somebody pulls up next to him and he like changes the channel like hard rock and puts on a stone face.
Yeah, no, I don't do that.
Not me.
I do.
Sometimes.
Tight jeans.
Sometimes I catch myself singing out loud and then you get in traffic and maybe you tone it down a little bit. Put your hand over your face. And maybe, you know. But absolutely, I don't change the channel.
Robin Marble says, hey, guys, and Chaz Bono, it's been another busy week.
Marlboro.
It's been another busy week.
I thought he was in Marble.
Matt Light
retired. That's what was in Fred's cheek when he said it.
It's been another busy week. Matt Light retired, and Nate Solder will probably take over. Joseph Addai is coming aboard to probably take the lead role in the run game. I doubt that. Things are coming into focus, and it's still the most exciting offseason I can remember in recent years. I don't know what's gotten into Bill, but I like it. To John in L.A., I'm sorry to see in plain sight N. Angry, abusive Mary was stimulating. Thanks for the great show.
I did watch a little of it on Friday, long enough to see my reference.
Oh, yeah?
And then you turned it off?
It was the same. Well, the Celtics were playing. It was the same guy. My character is a recurring character.
Yes. Yes.
Do you get a residual on that?
Yeah. Nothing.
I get nothing.
Fred, please do me a favor and get Andy worked up, then mock him. It's awesome.
Already happened.
Yep.
You're too late.
It is one of the funniest parts of the show.
Yeah, those residuals. Did you see Adam Schefter tweeted his the other day from...
Yes.
What's that remake?
Longest Yard?
Yeah. And it was like $3.11 or something. I don't think they're all they're cracked up to be if you're a, you know,
well, if you have
player.
A bit player, yeah. I mean, but if you're...
Oh, yeah, if you're Tom Cruise, you're rolling in it.
Yeah.
I don't think Paul's ever going to have top billing.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Nick is in Hawaii. Hey, Nick, aloha.
Hey, guys.
Mahalo.
Been a while.
That's thank you.
I'll keep it short and simple. I'm usually not up this early. I usually catch the podcast. But I just want to thank you guys for years and years of loyal service to helping me stay connected with the team out here. Being a Patriots fan has been pretty hard, but I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I got nothing but gratitude for you guys and what you guys do and put in the time and effort.
Do you have an extra bed? Room for some visitors?
No, not really.
Okay.
But
well, we appreciate
screw
that,
you,
Nick.
Then.
Thank
we
you
really
very
do.
Much, Nick. That was nice.
People like you is why we do this show.
And food.
Yeah, I can't even imagine just not having PFW. It's like exactly what I listen to and from work every day, even laying down at the beach.
Cool.
It's always nice to have some PFW in your iPod.
All letters go to Robert Kraft at 1 Patriot Place, Foxborough, Mass. 02035.
Tell the owner.
Definitely
we want
will.
More.
Oh, one more thing before I go. I heard emailer Vanessa in Hawaii email in last week.
Yep.
If she's listening and she's in her early 20s, get in touch with me.
All right. There we go.
Nice. You left something.
I can't find any Patriots fan women out here.
Well, the only question she might have of you, Nick, is do you have a longboard?
I'm actually in my yard and there's two sitting right next to me.
I don't think that's what he was talking about.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Nick in Hawaii.
Love connections here on PFW in Progress.
Let's go to Larry in Worcester. Larry, how are you?
Very nice call. Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Larry.
I think they're covering theirs themselves that number two draft pick just never gets on the field.
Shane Vereen, you're talking about?
Yeah. I have a feeling they're worried about him.
They might be. You might be right about that.
I mean, he was just, and he's just never... He doesn't seem to be able to replace Kevin, and Kevin lost a step last year.
Wait a minute. Vereen hasn't done
He hasn't really
anything.
Done anything. Or not done anything.
I think,
that's what I mean.
But we've been predicting that they're
going
to,
rookie,
they're going to bring
hurt.
In a veteran running back at some point,
yeah.
Regardless. And I think it's only natural. I think it's a move that is predictable. I don't think it says that they have bad thoughts about Vereen. Vereen really hasn't proven it yet, so they
that's
have to.
I mean,
but he hasn't not proven it.
Right.
Prove
what has he done?
Right.
I mean, he had a hamstring injury.
Right.
It was a hamstring, right, or whatever it was. And then
yeah, he's shown a few things. He got hurt, and the jury's still out on him.
Right.
The other thing about the 300.
Yeah.
The men from Sparta.
Yes.
Actually, the Warriors actually live together. Even after they would go home and visit their wives, but they actually, homosexuality didn't have a big to-do back in those days. And they literally, their warrior cult was that the men would bond.
So it was more like any port in a storm.
Okay, but even if you think of Alexander the Great, who had princesses from one end of the world to the other, he supposedly, his love interest was one of the kids he went to school with, one of the men he went to school with and went to battle with.
So he was
and it
gay.
Had to do with you would fight
much
harder
like
for that person, and you couldn't give up in front of them because of shame.
Right.
So, I mean, and like I said, homosexuality back in those days had very, it didn't have any bad connotations.
Okay.
Interesting stuff.
I don't know that it has bad connotations.
Thanks for the call,
today.
Larry.
Oh, to you it does.
No, actually, and Larry knows because he was there, by the way.
Oh.
In Sparta.
Oh, Larry, come on. You know, the whole thing, too, my whole, faux concern here about the running game, because I do agree with Andy that it doesn't – they've lived without a running game. The offense has been as productive as any without a running game for a long time. maybe if Ridley can't do that little job that I talked about, maybe Adai does. Adai's been a good goal line back, despite not necessarily being an imposing guy. He's been pretty good at being able to run into the end zone.
I also kind of look at Adai like I look at the receivers. I think there's a chance he's not here and some other veteran back is here by the time the rubber hits the road.
Right, sure. So maybe I'm just, you know, in the span of a half hour, I talk myself out of my one little concern.
A lot of people want to
Super
talk
Bowl,
about,
baby.
A lot of people.
Now they've secured it.
Steven Toronto says, since you're discussing it, the actors in 300 were actually wearing rubber prosthesis on their chests and stomachs, as none of the actors could get jacked enough after months of training. So they went to the special effects team and had them make Hans and Franz chests and six packs that were glued on.
I thought I said something about that.
There's been a lot of, they were talking about that during that show this morning.
That those were fake?
That was fake.
And some of it was also just lighting and spray on and stuff to make it look bigger and better than it was.
That's Hollywood.
And Pedro from Portugal writes in, there is an historic reason why you can say 300 is a gay movie. Spartans had, as a common practice, homosexual sex, as Larry said, though they had heterosexual sex as well without any social criticism. Spartans had a very different sexual conduct. It was very common to have sex with any Spartan woman, no matter to whom she was married, and that applied to men as well. Otherwise, I'm with Andy on this. Warriors in the ancient Greece were always naked to withstand the conditions and get tougher, and the movie itself shows that when Leonidas, the leader, goes through an intense training when he is younger.
So they were just sticking it in any hole that was around and convenient. Right?
Freddie,
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Freddie, you used to have a Spartan Jeep, too, didn't you?
I did. And Stripper says, do you know how they separated the men from the boys in Greece? Crowbars.
That's way better than 600.
Let's see. A lot of emails. Tyler from Georgia. If anyone in the NFL was Jar Jar Misa, Misa has to think it was Tim Tebow, betcha, betcha. He was banished from his community, clumsily assisted in the victory against the droids, and hated by the majority of Star Wars fans. I also see parallels between Jar Jar's meeting with Gwee Khan and Tebow's first meeting with Elway. I'll rewrite a famous line from episode one to illustrate how I think the encounter went. Elway, are you talentless? Tebow, I can hurl a football. Elway, the ability to hurl a football does not make you talented. Now get out of here. Okay. Everything comes back to
May the fourth be with you.
I like that.
May the fourth.
Cody from Nova Scotia says, I just heard
it.
You say that Ocho won't be on the team. I agree 100%, but Chad Johnson might make the team.
He might, but I think he's in a dogfight for like the last receiver spot. And speaking of Ocho, his inappropriate rants on Twitter, though funny and not intended to be malicious, he did a video yesterday where he said, I left Twitter for an hour, an hour and change looking at my watch. And I come back and I check my mentions, 8 people, 3.4 million followers, and I get 8 mentions. And then he starts just going off on this, you mother bleepers, I'm going to, if you guys don't, why are you going to be pompous? I try to interact with you. If you don't interact with me, I will come out there and beat each and every 3.4 million of you mother effers.
Oh,
I was actually watching it. My wife walks in and goes, what the hell is that? Like, he was in his car just holding his phone, taping it, and it was,
oh, wow.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
So he puts this up and is like a link. So you,
it said TwitVid.
Oh, so he was probably getting money from that company.
Oh, it worked.
Yeah. I just can't. I always wonder to
myself. Crazy like a fox.
Yeah. I always wonder to myself, who actually clicks on those? There's my answer. Andy Hart.
And he did it the best way. Just put the link.
And
so I have to, like, don't even give me any idea what it is. So you force me to click on it.
Yeah,
because it could be anything.
I know it's not like.
I'm a hair away from unfollowing.
Didn't he do something about the wide receivers the other day with a video?
He took him out to Bar Louie and did a video like saying, oh, here's so-and-so, it's so-and-so. And somebody came in.
Fred, you nailed this.
The big controversy was somebody came in, dropped the N-word to everybody, and Ocho still put it up. And
oh, really?
Somebody on the team came in and said that?
To each other.
It seems like you can say anything on Twitter and no one cares. You know, it's reached that point. All these guys use foul language.
Well, as long as it wasn't like Welker.
What?
Yeah, I think Welker would get in trouble.
Oh.
It was not.
Okay.
Well, he was too busy at Kentucky.
Ebert.
Derby.
Right?
Kentucky.
I think
Derby.
I think Fred nailed this.
What?
I think it's probably one of his new
well,
ventures.
I know it was one thing. Shaq was clearly involved with Tout. because he kept putting all these tout, but now, and that's taken off, and that's now cnbc.tout.com, and, but I didn't think of that twit vid if maybe he got some,
Cody says, anyways, I wanted to chime in on Travis LeBoy. Would any of you guys be interested at him as a pure pass rusher?
The 300 people would.
They like LeBoy.
Well, you would like to just say, oh, LeBoy.
Yeah, I don't really have any.
John in Largo, Florida says, you guys are awesome. I'm listening on the edge of my seat, but I have one question for Andy. Does your wife know you're gay?
I'm sure she's aware of it.
Let's see. Oh, and Bobby writes in from where is he from? 304. Where's the 304? Is that Colorado?
I got hoes.
Anyway, he says
303.
303 is Colorado, right? Anyway, I don't know where he is. Guys, if you want a movie that's only now perceived as gay, Nightmare on Elm Street 2. I hadn't heard that.
I don't watch those.
I don't.
A horror flick?
Not a big fan of the horror.
I'm not a big fan of the horror flick.
The genre.
What do you?
You know what I want.
Teeny bopper movies.
You know what I like.
The most
sports flicks.
I'll watch any sports movies.
Not teeny bopper movies?
Well, you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean. I know what you said.
Queer. Yeah. And I mean queer, not gay.
Teeny bopper is that's strong.
I think that's proper.
It's like the queer. High school kind of high school college nonsense kind of stuff.
American Pie type stuff?
Yeah. I like those movies that don't make you think. You just
say
kinda,
anything.
Well, that's a romantic comedy.
That's a little different.
16 Candles.
Oh, 16 Candles is classic. If you didn't like that, then you're just un-American.
Falls into all those.
John Hughes movies were great in the 80s. I'm sorry.
Well, I just didn't see them. I saw the one.
Because you know why? Nothing blew up, and you weren't interested.
Right. But I did see
No Killing,
Ferris Bueller.
No Blowing Up.
Love Ferris Bueller. Thought it was a classic kind of movie.
Thought it was a classic.
How come he's allowed to not have interest in your movies, but you're allowed to not have interest in his? You don't like Blowing Up. But he's not allowed to like Blowing Up.
Thank you, Andy.
No, you were exactly
he's very
right.
Very close-minded.
You were exactly right the other way around. I don't hold it against you that you guys like
You just
300.
Said you made fun of me.
Nothing blew up, Fred.
But I don't make fun of you guys.
You just did.
Because you made fun. How did this start? This is unbelievable. This just started because Fred made fun of me for watching these movies. And I responded by saying, because nothing blew up. And I'm saying, I'm close-minded. You are out of line, my friend. You are out of line.
That was good.
The most interesting Patriots fan in the world writes in, James
Thank you
Pettigrew.
For lunch.
He says,
Thank you,
if
James.
It's any help in the military, it was only gay if you made eye contact. I always made eye contact.
No, you see, you guys make fun of us all the time for not sticking to the script. This is why we don't stick to the script.
Aaron says, fellas, I can't let this crazy 300 talk go on any further.
This is unbelievable. Crazy talk.
300 is a period piece. What are the guys supposed to be wearing? Parkas?
Thank you.
What those Greco-Roman guys wore back then, and the director just stayed true to the book. I've met the writer of 300 a couple of times, and I heard him talk about
it. I had gay sex
book.
With him.
Who's this?
Aaron from Virginia. I don't believe this story was some subtle erotic plot. He is the same guy who wrote Sin City, Terminator 3, and helped on Daredevil
gay.
And Batman. He just likes fighting. He just likes fighting in action and women, from my observations, when meeting him. If 300 is a gay movie, then so is the NFL Combine.
Absolutely.
I feel more uncomfortable watching
You don't think
those
gay
guys
watch the NFL Combine?
I'm watching those guys run 40s in pantyhose than I do watching 300. P.S., the next 300 movie is a prequel.
Oh, okay.
So it's the 150. I knew he was going to say it.
But that makes sense.
Yes,
because
does.
They all died in
right,
300,
right.
right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to see that then.
That makes me gay.
But that does. I remember.
All right, now you guys told
we
me
we had Sean Jefferson, and he always go to the to practice in those skin tight
yep.
leotards without any support. And
he'd
come running down.
It was just flopping around.
Yeah, the junk would be all over the place.
And you were watching it.
I didn't want to see that though. No,
I'd see. I wouldn't be looking at it.
No.
He didn't wear football pants.
No,
practice. Jock strap.
They would just
what?
Jock strap.
No,
was,
I mean,
support.
Yeah,
right.
He used to have, these were practices that didn't have full pads, obviously.
Oh.
I haven't seen it since, though.
No, he used to do it all the time.
Instead of wearing sweatpants, he would just wear, the tight Under Armour.
And he wasn't the only one.
A lot of guys would.
Main Davis.
Yeah, guys would wear those, but they would have something over them. For some reason, Sean Jefferson never wore anything over them.
Oh.
But in your 300 thing, didn't you say that they were, all oiled up?
Yeah, well, they all seem to be glistening.
Was it
because they're sweaty?
Yeah. Right. Okay. I just wanted to stay, true to the script.
You don't think it was hot marching across like lands?
Of course, in 300, they were just kind of standing there. Okay. They were waiting for the Persians to arrive.
Okay. No, they had to march up that hill and then down the gap.
But then they were at the pass, and they stayed there.
And they had to be tan.
They had to wait
there. And it was hot.
It was hot.
They were tan because they were out in the sun all day with no shirt on.
And Fred, glistening.
Right.
So
if you ever worked out, you'd know that when you work out, you sweat and you glisten, you fat bastard.
That's the first funny response that you've had this whole show.
You don't glisten unless you're tanned.
I don't glisten then. Well, you also don't glisten if you're hairy.
Right.
And I'm hairy.
Right.
So I don't glisten.
Oh, so they were all shaved too, huh?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so staying true to the script, I'm sure they were all shaved back then. They all, you know what they used? The ultimate in hair
removal
systems.
First good point for Paul Perillo today that it's a gay movie. Well done, Paul. You got there.
But so what? It's not a gay movie.
The funniest thing is I've never seen the movie.
I have a question, though, about this. Is a lesbian porn video a lesbian movie or a heterosexual movie?
There you go. It's a good question.
That's just hot.
Right. That's my point.
Right. That's right.
That's a crowd pleaser.
Matt writes in, back to football. Listen to your latest podcast reply. A lot of windshield time for work. And heard you slamming the pick of Devon Wilson.
That was Eric.
I was hoping you could do the listeners a favor and compare his playing and pro day stats to the consensus number three free safety in the draft, Barron being number one, Harrison being number two. I'd like to see the comparison to understand Belichick's rationale for the pick. Perhaps it's close, but versatility won out. Also, do you feel that because the Falcons supposedly had a lot of interest in Wilson, that Belichick believed they might take him in the third round with their pick, hence why we took him in the second? After all, Falcons have Mr. Dimitroff doing their evaluations, and I don't think it's coincidence they had interest in Wilson as well.
But who cares? That's the whole point.
This listener.
No,
cares.
I mean, I'm not talking. I'm saying, who cares if the Falcons had interest in him? There were plenty of other safeties that were available.
But I mean, clearly the Patriots wanted this guy.
I know, but just.
But who is? I didn't get the question. Who's the consensus third safety? There was none.
Well, I don't care about the numbers anyway.
Because Markell Martin and George Aloka and all those guys were in the mix as the next best safety.
Well, let's just say, let's just say for argument's sake that he has better combine numbers than Mark Barron. I mean, he had better pro day numbers than Mark Barron's combine numbers, even though Mark Barron didn't go to the
pro
combine.
Days mean,
but stick with me.
Those kind of numbers don't mean anything.
I don't care what he ran for
sometimes.
40.
Exactly.
I don't care
That's
what
we got Nate Ebner.
No, yeah. But I don't care what
I mean, they matter
what his
some
times
scouts,
were.
But they don't matter on the field.
If they think that he can play, okay, they can sell me. I mean, we'll see when he gets on the field, but I don't care what his times are in the three cone drill.
Okay, so
I don't care if it stacks up favorably to Mark Barron or anybody
else.
Well,
they do, first of all. The Patriots
do. No, but
do.
You know what I'm saying.
But second of all, update us.
They
I just want to bring
him
us to light.
Of that.
During the draft show, we had an Illinois fan who said Tavon Wilson sucked.
Yep.
We had an Ohio State fan who said Tavon Wilson sucked.
Yep.
And Paul met a man from Michigan yesterday who said
Tavon Wilson sucked?
Blows.
So we're making our way through the Big Ten of fans.
I was at my son's flag football game last night. This guy who I have seen periodically just walks by me and says, so you give him an A? I go, B+. I love the trades. Love the first round trades. I love going after those guys. He says, yeah. From then on, though, I'll tell you that Tavon Wilson, he goes, I watch a lot of Big Ten football. And he had a Michigan sweatshirt on. And he goes, I mean a lot. Probably too much. Tavon Wilson blows. Now, I that's not me saying that. Don't yell at me. This was some huge Patriots fan who likes Michigan that Tavon Wilson can't play.
I think the Patriots took, obviously the versatility was big. But I think also, the Patriots took into consideration all the different ways he was used and probably felt, look, if we just focus him a little bit more on safety, rather than corner, I think he could be productive to us. Because he played both in his last year. I think he played corner out of need, right?
His real position.
He played safety out of need.
As a sophomore, he played corner. He played safety out of need his junior year. And then the need was no longer there because that person who was injured came back. And they asked him what he'd rather play.
Right.
And he said corner. So he went back to corner as a senior. He felt like that would be best for the team.
Best for the team. So, maybe he went back to the corner because he thought it was best for the team, but maybe he's a better safety.
If that were the case, why would they have given him a choice?
Because they felt he could do either one. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's enough red flags there to say why.
Well, we'll see. I mean, this is a good one. This is a good one to see, if they were right or not.
you know?
Is it just something tells me there's nothing that could happen to make the people that were naysayers, you say that they were right. There's nothing that could happen. Barring him getting cut in training camp, which is not going to happen.
Brian says, I'm about to ask something impossible to give an apples-to-apples comparison. Please humor me and think only of the 2011 Patriots defense. Starting in week 15 versus Denver and continuing through the Super Bowl with the emergence of Sterling Moore and the return of Chung and Spikes, based solely on the eye test, where do you guys rank that particular sample of defense as compared to the rest of the 2011 NFL? So just those, that stretch of three games, I guess?
I don't understand the question.
Say it again, Fred.
Middle of the pack.
We're cherry picking three games?
Yeah.
What number is one. I don't know.
He's so pissy.
I don't know.
So pissy.
But wait a minute. I don't really understand the question.
Say the question again.
I don't understand the question.
They got back Chung, and they, you know, the emergence of Sterling Moore and Spikes was playing better. You know, he was back. How would you rate that defense against the rest of the NFL defenses in 2011? That sampling of the defense.
But, I mean, using the rest of the NFL, like, for the whole year? Or, like, their three best games, too? Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
That's why I'm confused. Okay.
That's why he's busy.
The question
I agree with Paul on this. First of all, I don't think they played...
just middle of the pack.
I don't think they played that well.
Offenses, and two of the teams they played marched up and down the field, just didn't put a lot of points on the board.
Andy said my point better than I said
it. But to me, that makes
them
middle of the pack. They were nowhere near as horrific as they were earlier in the year, where they couldn't cover.
But they were at times. They just weren't as bad for 60 minutes as they had been.
See, I didn't see it.
21 points in the first quarter of the Buffalo Bills at home was pretty bad. That's one of those games I think he's talking about, right?
Oh, I didn't think that was in the equation. I thought it was like the two playoff games, the Super Bowl.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So,
but even that, in those games, they weren't great. But
they were very good against Denver.
Well, they weren't. Average Denver sucks.
Average at best against Baltimore and the Giants.
Denver absolutely. Was their opposite on
defense. So I go with
defense.
I thought we were talking about the stretch of the season.
Number. I mean, Denver was equally inept on offense.
Denver can't
they
move the
defense.
Ball.
Right.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in
Progress. No, another hour. Paul's just getting pissy.
All right.
I just didn't understand.
We'll be back Thursday, though. Same time, same bat channel.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.